to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. Good morning, Brian.
Let's see. What do we got today? Well,
I got stuff to fix your rope. I'm actually going to fix something of yours.
Danny's talking about my jump rope. Danny, you can't just go, I got to fix your rope.
Well, it's actually...
fix your rope. A, sounds like you could be fixing my rope, just anchor rope or something. But fix your rope sounds like fix your wagon.
Yeah, it does.
I got some fix your rope, son. Take swig out of it. Just don't ask. Take swig off the flask.
The things
that
fix
your rope, but good.
Aside from what a wonderful movie The Hammer is, that they make a big... It's Carolla's version of De Niro's weight loss and gain for Raging Bull. They possibly don't know that a Golden Gloves boxer and a boxing coach can do pretty amazing things that I cannot do with a rope. But one thing you can't do, and I need to be trained constantly and improve, is keep track. You can't jump rope for around 3 minutes and go, oh, I just did 297. You'll lose track every time. So years ago, I found a rope that counts every revolution, and I lost it, and I found it, and he admired it. So I bought two of them on eBay, but they're so light, they're just, mine's cord. These are just light little rope. You can barely make a revolution.
Here's the thing about jumping rope.
It's the best, man, especially now that I'm getting better at it. They look really cool.
The rope itself has to have some weight to it.
Right.
If the rope itself doesn't have any weight to it, you can't really spin it very fast. It's like trying to throw a wiffle ball. It just doesn't go anywhere, as opposed to throwing a golf ball or a baseball. Just, it doesn't have any weight to it. And leather ropes are okay, but the plastic ones, believe it or not, are the best. They have the best weight, whatever. I was admiring Danny's counting rope because I skip rope at a decent pace, but it'd be nice to know whether I was on the 200 revolution a minute or the 300 revolution a minute pace.
Oh, you're killing me, because I'm on 300 revolution per 3 minute.
Oh, well, I have no idea. I've never counted. I'd be curious.
My guess is because of my mistakes compared to you, just even if I were going to jump about the same speed, then you're at the 400 and I'm at the 320s because I crash a lot.
I have no idea. I'd love to find out. So Danny got me the rope that counted the revolutions. The problem is there's a wisp of yarn in between the two handles that has no weight. Thus, virtually impossible to jump it because it's like, you're laboring so hard to get this lighter-than-air piece of yarn around you for each revolution, you can never build up any momentum. Now, I did 20 minutes in the kitchen about, you know, Danny does the thing where it's like, yeah, you got to get the rope. And I think we all have products that are this way, you know.
Well, I'm a measuring freak.
But you buy the product, and then as soon as you buy the product, you come up with ways to modify it so it works. Well, see, you get the rope and you tie it. Some of them you'll tie in a few knots, or you'll add a weight, like a bead or something like that. But if you're manufacturing jump ropes for a living, and again, it's not a shoe buffer and a jump rope, it's just a jump rope.
Right.
It doesn't open cans and bottles, and you can skip it. It doesn't jump start your car and jump your day. It's a jump rope. It's nothing but it. So you've invented a product that you ship out millions of from the factory that does not work, and all you have to do is clear it like a jump rope. I'm figuring this one up. Danny and I have to put our considerable brains together and figure out how to modify your product so that it can work as the only thing you sell it as.
The one Corolla has seen of mine, and I don't know where I got it because I haven't boxed in years. As a matter of fact, I think you'll find this funny. When Gretchen and I were remodeling our house, I said, don't give me a lot of crap. And she said, about what? And I said, the stuff you're going to find. She said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to find empty bottles everywhere in this house would be my guess. In the garden, behind the pool, just, you know, wherever I threw it. Because your first couple of drinks, you hide stuff carefully. After that, you just kind of throw it in the bushes. So I figured, or hide it in the closet in a pair of shoes. All my boxing gloves and wraps were wrapped around empty bottles of vodka.
Oh, really?
So when I went back to do these fights that are coming up, and we got all my boxing gear out, and little bottles of vodka kept falling out and breaking. But we also found this jump rope, which is cord like Adam suggests, but it also, you could put in your weight on an arm, how many calories you burn. It's a big thing. I could not find that again. So what I did is I got Adam one because he admired it, and I thought it was the same thing. And it's not. It's what he described. So I went to Sports Chalet last night.
They'll take you to the limit, buddy.
And they, well, what I know is that I'm better than yesterday.
Not interested in going to the limit, by the way, if anyone's listening.
Me either.
Being well below the limit. Yeah. Well below that limit.
But
that's
if I'm jumping 350 and I stay at 350, I'm not getting better. And the only way any three of these men I have that I'm fighting have a chance of beating me is fatigue. I'll get scared when I can't breathe. It feels like you're drowning and someone's hitting you. So I have to know I'm jumping more every day. So I went to Sports Chalet last night and I bought one of those beaded ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to cut it open today, decide how much weight you would like on it, and I'm going to thread your rope.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll have weight on it.
I haven't had my rope threaded since camp,
since
actually.
Twins.
It's again, anyone, if you're the folks that made this, and I'm sure you reside in China and just don't care. And by the way, if I was shipping stuff to as far away as China, I wouldn't care either what the hell the guy thought of me 6,000 miles away who was trying to use my product. But
yours is a toy compared to
you're affiliated with this product. Please kill yourself. You've come up with a, you know, I just, it's that part of life where I said to my assistant, Jay, yesterday as we were staring at some schematic on the computer for 10 minutes trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, is A the height or is A the width of this product? I can't figure this thing out. We stared at each other for a long time. And then I said, at the end of 10 minutes, yes, at the end of 10 minutes, I looked at him and I said, well, we're both smart and we've both been staring at this schematic for 10 minutes and we can't make heads or tails of it. Whoever invented this or whoever put this together should kill themselves. When your product doesn't work, when your product needs to be modified, when I pass your sign, when I pass the billboard for your movie 1,400 times and I don't know the name of your movie because you've chosen font that doesn't work
right,
or doesn't show or is too small, you've done a horrible job. And it feels to me like there's a ton of this stuff in society.
There is.
Where you
a
just
ton of bad product placement, product. You know what's gone to hell in a handbasket? And I say that in an old person's term, hell in a handbasket, because it seems like that's the way it should be said. Service. Service is awful.
Yeah.
You know, I tip well. If I have a party of six and it says we've added an 18% gratuity, you've lost money.
Yeah, well, the thing, here's what happened with service. I mean, I've figured this one out from going to home centers my whole life. If you're going to have one place like Home Depot and they're going to sell you a sheet of plywood for $13 and at the place where the guy knows what he's talking about, it's $21. The reason it's $13 is because they're hiring a bunch of guys who are getting $7 an hour instead of $15 an hour.
Right.
Hence, those guys don't know anything. I mean, they show the commercial where the person goes in there and there's some guy with salt and pepper hair who's supposed to be a journeyman plumber saying, well, this is an angle stop and here's the way it hooks up. But plumbers make $45 an hour.
Right. And this guy's fake. I'll use a code word. I want to call him anybody we know. So let's call him Bly Blennington.
Yes.
Bly Blennington's drunken uncle, older uncle, who also doesn't know anything about building, is manning the plumbing department at the Home Depot. Now, this is not a knock against Home Depot. This is called reality.
No, you love Home
Depot. You don't get a guy who normally makes $50 an hour out in the real world to work for $9.25 an hour at your Home Depot.
Unless you're this radio station, you got me after a bad TV show.
I've done. Yes. Now, yes, it's true.
That's true.
That plumber guy once in a while bottoms out, loses his job, gets his license stripped or something, puts his tail between his legs and has to take a pay cut for 18 months. Eventually, he gets a new van and gets to go back out in the private sector and make some real money. So these places, these big barn, whatever, stereo stores, Home Depot's, home building supply, you fill in the blank, furniture, you have a bunch of guys floating around the floor that are getting $8 an hour. Well, obviously, they're not the foremost experts in their field. They're young people who are on their way to maybe being an expert one day, but you ain't talking to them on a Tuesday when you're in the Home Depot.
You put up a little bit more than I do. I have pet peeves at my giant chain store with the big boxes.
Right.
And one of them is, in some place, the size of a Home Depot. Now, where Adam wouldn't put down Home Depot for two reasons. One, he loves it there. And two, they're a fine sponsor. I would never put it down because I don't know my way around it or what it does. But you know what I don't like at places the size of Home Depot or any big store like that? Hey, where will I find this? Go down there, turn left to the right, and it's over there.
Yes.
Walk me. You're wearing the vest. Walk me straight to the thing I want.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is where you want to go is 15 or 20 clicks from where they are, and they can't leave their little jurisdicted area. They may be working in hardware or plumbing, and then they walk you over to the garden place, right. And then I show up at the plumbing place, and I want to know where the guy is, except for not me. I never look for anybody because I know more than they do. The deal is, all I'm saying is to America, if you want gas as cheap as you can possibly get your gas, you're not going to get the guy with the bow tie to clean your windshield at the same time.
A little cool hat.
You can find service, people. Commission-based
sales is what you really get.
Go to the mom-and-pop place and pay the extra $10 for the sheet of plywood, and you'll have a guy load it personally onto your car. America has made that decision. What
we've said is we want the big box
store. We want the Home Depots. We want the Targets.
But those are good choices, don't you think?
You know, to me, choice is the operative word.
I can't do Home Depot. I can totally do Target. Everything in a Target is.
I say, though, you'll not get in and out of a Target as fast as you'd get in and out of just a small corner store,
right.
Except for you would pay more and there'd be less selection.
But you also get more.
Yeah, look, the point is choice.
Right.
You know, I yell at Ozzy every other day because he heads down to the Hollywood Home Depot to pick up 50 cents worth of pipe joint or some sort of solder or something. He spends 2 hours saving 10 cents, you know?
My father-in-law does that.
The rule, it's called being cheap and stupid. The Corollas invented it, by the way. It's patent pending. It says after the Corollas.
My father-in-law, real-life rocket scientist, real-life physicist, and will waste 2 hours of his time to save 25 cents.
Yeah, because it's a disease.
Because it's a disease more than stupidity. Yeah. It's an affliction.
So
how would I know that?
Here's the message to everybody. First off, your time is worth money.
Valuable. Absolutely.
Whatever it is you're getting paid at your job, however much you make a week, break it down. That's what you're worth an hour.
I was scorned at work my last job for saying that. I mean, they made fun of me for months because I said I had to stay in line and for a couple hours to get something done. And I said, you know, my time has some value to it. And I said it seriously.
Right.
And they laughed like it was, I had spoken a foreign language. Like, of course your time is invaluable. Only things you do that make money are valuable.
Yeah, well, no.
They couldn't grasp the concept.
If you make $1,000 a week and you work a 50-hour week, you're worth $20 an hour.
Right.
And that's the same as it is on Sundays. It is on Monday afternoon. That's what you're worth.
Yeah, and if you're waiting in line for an hour at a large chain store, that's $20.
There's $20. So if you drive down,
which is a pet peeve of mine,
and you circle the Home Depot parking lot in Hollywood looking for a place to park for 15 minutes, and then you go in and stand in line behind a guy with a big cart of fencing so you can buy a coupler for 50 cents, well, then you're an idiot. Because, yes, you go to the corner and you spend another 25 cents or 20% or whatever it is, but you're in and out of there. So, number one, your time is worth something. Number two, you have to think where you are position-wise in life. There was a time when I was a contractor and I was bidding jobs, I would go to the Home Depot, was the cheapest. I wasn't making very much. Now I'm making a lot more per hour than I made back then.
Right.
And so what I do is I go to the Home Depot for the big ticket stuff. But anything under a couple $100, I'm going to the corner store. That's choice. We need that. You should frequent those corner stores and support them.
And support them
as well.
I agree. And speaking of, this is the world's worst transition, but I haven't noticed, because I was going to say, I got an idea for a topic. What is your biggest waste of time and money? What do you stand in line for that you could get cheaper or differently elsewhere? But then I thought of a guy who makes really all your tough choices for you, and that's who's coming up. Today's guest, or this morning's guest, is America's toughest sheriff. It's Joe Arpaio, is that correct?
It's like Arpaio.
Arpaio.
Well, I didn't have to call him anything but sir when he put me in a pink jumpsuit. Put me in a pink friggin' jumpsuit.
He did.
Man. Yeah, I did.
Well, because you were arrested in Arizona.
In Maricopa County.
Yeah, he's the guy who
pink underwear
sets up the camps, does the pink jumpsuits. I think he even did the big old-time striped jumpsuits for some time. But he has people staying in tents outside in Arizona. And his whole thing is prison's not supposed to be fun.
You
it's
know
not
what?
Supposed to feel good.
Out of all the arrests I've had, this all stems from that Phoenix arrest, that big one. The least problem I have with the cops is Phoenix. I had it coming. The cops beat me up because they thought that that was a woman, too. So, you know, I would have done it.
Right.
And this guy said, I don't care who you are. You're a criminal. Here, put on this pink suit and get out there in the hot sun right now. I have no problem. As a matter of fact, I'd vote for this cat.
Well, Joe Arpaio is going to be on the phone. He's America's toughest sheriff. And, I think he's rolled out the red carpet to Paris Hilton. But we'll figure that out and see if he remembers Bonnet. See, you remember Bonaducci next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Today we got boxing champ Bernard Hopkins, celebrity gossip with gay couple Lynn and Alex from The Amazing Race, and from Lost, Jorge Garcia. Hey, does someone mind explaining to the Jack Man how Jorge hasn't managed to lose a single pound since he crashed on that island? Not the Jack Man mind. Jack Man's what's known as a chubby chaser, peeps. I mean, I like chicks. Bad ones. I've said too much. Not gay.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, America's toughest sheriff, Joe Arpaio, is on the phone from... Arizona. Joe?
Morning.
Good to
Good
speak
morning,
to
sir.
You.
Hi.
Well, we've all heard your heard of you over the years. I'm trying to think when you came to prominence. Was it the pink jumpsuits?
Probably 1993 when I put up tents.
The tents.
In
That's
the
right. Because you didn't have enough room inside the prison?
In the jails? No, not really.
Do you guys remember when you said Paris Hilton was going to serve 45 days, and I said, no, she won't. She'll serve probably 17, and it turns out that that girl from Girl Fight got 60 days and served 2 hours because of overcrowding.
Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez.
Joe won't put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put the tents up for overcrowding. I figure you build a hotel, more people will check in. That was a real reason.
Mm-hmm.
Although nice we do see. Have overcrowding.
You do. And what do you overall... you're very controversial in your methods, but I think effective, and really, who cares about them anyway? That's the way I look at it.
Convicts.
What do you, we have a problem here in Los Angeles with crime, obviously. Do you have an overall philosophy involving crime? Is there something we could be doing so that there was less of it?
Well, you know, you try to deter the crime, but once the crime is committed, you should go to a tough jail. Everybody here arrested by anybody comes to the county jail that I run. It's the same for L.A. And jail should not be nice, and you should be punished. My philosophy is punishment and take away privileges, the old-fashioned philosophy, if you remember the old days. So that's my, and not live better in the jails than you do on the outside.
I agree, too. Do they have any documentation? Do they know if it's a deterrent if you go to a worse place rather than a better place? I would assume common logic would suggest it was a better deterrent, but I don't know.
See, that's recidivism, and I it's been 10 years since I did a study. Although I do have a great drug prevention program, and we study the inmates that have left the jail, only about 15% have come back. Normally across the nation, about 60% come back. However, how do we know, we can't read people's minds, how do we know that they did not commit a crime because they did not want to go in the sheriff's tough jail system? You will never know that.
Well, I'm suggesting we should probably try to figure it out. I mean, it is, like I said, it's common logic. If one place you have to go to, you know, let's put it this way. When I was a kid, if there was a timeout and I would go to my room and I could watch TV, I would be more likely to act poorly as if I had to go into my room and there was no TV to watch.
Right. Sure.
It's just sort of common knowledge. On the other hand, I don't know if most people that commit crimes are sort of hopped up and don't care in the heat of passion, as it were, and don't think they're going to get caught anyway.
Want to know a deterrent, a real deterrent?
Yeah. Mm.
Jails that won't let you smoke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would do anything.
Do you allow smoking? Because I know the death penalty is not a deterrent in states that have the death penalty.
No, I've taken everything away. Smoking, coffee, salt. Our meals are 15 cents times two. Well, I only give them two meals. That's 30 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go on and on. No TV, no movies, no radios, no nothing. Pink underwear, chain gangs. So that's the way I operate the jail.
Now, sir, let me go ahead and just break the ice right here. Do you remember me at all? My name is Danny Bonaducci.
Were you in Phoenix?
Yes, I was, sir.
And you had a few problems, but you turned out okay, right?
I actually did turn out, in my opinion, as a very good husband and father. And,
good.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate that. But I just want you to know that before you were on the phone, I said the worst thing that ever happened to me arrest-wise, and believe me, I was a bad guy before I got there. It's not like Phoenix did it to me. But of the bad things that happened to me at the hands of the police and the bad things that could have happened to me at the hands of you, you are the person I resent least and the Phoenix Police Department least. It's the first cops are so afraid these days that they can't do their job. And everything that happened to me in Phoenix, I had absolutely coming. And I just wanted you to know that if you've forgiven me for breaking the law in your town, I have most certainly forgiven you for scaring the bejesus out of me.
Well, what year was this?
What year? That's right. What year?
Well, the year I committed the crime was 91. The year I was going to jail, he had just come to the office.
Joe was in the fifth grade in 91.
Okay, so you were in a jail when I started in 93.
Right. I didn't actually have to go. They suspended the sentence for 90 days, and they said if you're good for 5 years, you don't have to go, and I've been good for 17.
So you never served time?
You know, I've never had a traffic ticket in 17 years since then.
Well, Joe, we're talking to Joe Arpaio, who's America's toughest sheriff. He's over there in, is it Maricopa County?
Yeah, which includes Phoenix.
Which includes Phoenix. How does one become a warden, a sheriff, whatever the title is on your desk? I mean, where do you start? Do you start off just working as a guard in a prison?
Oh, no. First of all, the governor runs the country club, the state prisons. I run the county jails.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody arrested goes to jail first.
Uh-huh. So you're a jail, not a prison.
No, everybody in this county comes to the jail first, and they stay there maybe 4 years, the murderers, rapists, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If they're convicted, I get those up to a year they serve time. Bigger than that, they go to the state prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sheriff is elected. If I was appointed by governors or mayors, I would have been fired 14 years ago.
Right. The people love you, but not the man.
The politicians are a little, don't like me too much. They wish I'd go away. But that's jealousy and ego. So I do my job. We have 4 million people to live here now in the county that we know of. There's a few floating around from Mexico.
Sure.
And so I'm elected. So since I'm elected, I decide the policies and I follow it through. I have 45 years of law enforcement. My big job, 30 years, was with a U.S. drug enforcement. I was a director of Mexico, South America, Turkey, you name it.
Well, no drugs there. You must have just been napping like a Maytag repairman for 30 years.
So, but I ran for sheriff in 92.
Hey, Joe, then can I ask you a next question? Because you brought up some of the illegals floating around Arizona. We're out here in California. We have a handful of illegals.
Yeah.
What's the solution? I know we're talking about bills and temporary visas and amnesties. How would you approach this problem?
Well, I am approaching it. I'm the only law enforcement agency. Since I'm elected, I don't report to anybody but the public. Locking up illegals on a new law that was passed a year and a half ago. We arrest the smuggler and the people being smuggled, and I would hope the Terminator out there would thank me. I haven't received any calls since 70% of the people we're locking up coming through Maricopa County are heading for California.
Yeah.
I also are training 170 of my officers, federal training, so we're enforcing the federal law. Now, how do you stop it? Building fences doesn't do it because you can always buy a shovel or a ladder.
Well, I think that's what I was going to ask you. What about the ranchers along the border with guns?
the way you, well, I don't know about taking a law in your own hands. But
yeah, but you don't know not about taking the law in your hands, do you?
Yeah, well, I have a volunteer 3,000-person posse with guns, so but they're legitimate. I swear them in, and they function under the elected sheriff. But the way you do it, you arrest people when they cross the border. There's a federal law nobody enforces, 6 months in prison, and they arrest them. They can't work when they're behind bars. They can work in my jail cooking bread, but they can't work and send money back to their loved ones.
So you're saying just enforce the laws that are already on the books.
That's very common sense statement.
At the risk of sounding like a xenophobe, I've never understood that part either. Why we have laws on the books, why don't we just enforce the laws that are on the books? Seems like they were put there so this wouldn't happen, and now if you do that, you're some kind of out-of-control racist.
Right.
If you're just enforcing the laws that were made some time ago so that we wouldn't have an influx of people coming from different lands unchecked.
You're exactly right. My mother and father came here legally from Italy. Way back, and if you come here illegally, you're violating the law. It's not enforced. Now look at what the position we are in now. I don't know why it took 20 years for everybody to get excited.
Well, you know, look, here's the deal. The worst thing you can call any human being on the planet these days, and especially a politician, is a racist. So if there's a topic that gets anywhere close to that title, if you raise your hand and say, hey, folks, why don't we just go, and somebody points at you and calls you a racist, you shut up as fast as you can. Politicians want to get reelected. Joe Arpaio doesn't care about getting reelected he has the people on his side. He's not worried about the man. So you get to go through life with impunity. Politicians are scared to death. I'm sure they all feel like the border should be beefed up, but every time you make a comment like that, you're called a racist.
Well, you know, I'm a politician. I hate to say that, but when you run for office, I guess you're a politician.
Right.
So I have to get elected, too. I've been elected 4 times, going on 5 next year. But I feel that you have to do what you feel is right, enforce the law, I don't know if they call me a racist yet. I used to be very popular with the Hispanic community. I think some people think I turned on them. I've heard that. I didn't turn on anybody. I'm just enforcing the new state law, being the only one to do it.
No, what happens there is, and I have some experience with this, what happens is it's essentially you get a TV in your cell, and eventually somebody above you makes you take their TV, then you're the ass and you've turned on them. You don't have to actually have done a thing. You have to have followed orders.
Well, I've said this, and you can weigh in and tell me what you think, Joe. But let's just do it this way. We have a border to the south with Mexico, and we have a border to the north with Canada. One place we have people that are a different color, and another place we have white people that love hockey. If nobody came here illegally from Mexico and everyone was flooding the place from Canada, we would have no problem beefing up the Canadian border because there's not a racist component to it.
Right.
We can't do this because we're keeping people that are darker than we are from coming into our country. Thus, we become racist. If it was just Canadians coming over unchecked, willy-nilly, taking jobs and muling drugs over here, there'd be no problem saying, hey, we got to beef up the Canadian border.
Right, but then again, you're talking about Canadians who really bug me.
Joe?
Yeah, I was just thinking they talk about beefing up the Canadian border just to show there's no prejudice on each border. When I was head of the Federal Drug Enforcement in Mexico, we closed the border in 1969, but just to make it look good, we cracked down on Canada, too. That was part of our plan. So
right. We
sometimes
have
it's done for politics.
Yeah, that's exactly why it's done. We don't care about the Canadian border because they're not trying to get over here, although a terrorist attempt was thwarted at LAX by somebody who had some good instincts standing at a Canadian border a few years ago, if you guys remember that story. Just some border guard. Oh, they had a car filled with explosives. I think it was in the millennium. I think it was 2000. They were going to go blow up LAX, and somebody, just a Canadian border guard, just got a bad feeling about someone that was driving across. Right. That's why we need to trust these people when they have, when their spidey sense tingles. It was a woman, I think. She got the guy out of the car, and turns out it was filled with plastic explosives, and he was heading for LAX. Remember that story, Joe?
Yeah, I think that was the West Coast border. Up there in the West Coast.
Right, of Canada, as I like to call it. Yeah. Joe Arpaio, is there anything you're plugging other than your name?
Well, I don't know.
You got a book coming out?
Vote for King. Run for King.
I do have a book, America's Toughest Sheriff, so I'm in a process of just signing a contract for another one. However, I am involved in the presidential campaign for president, so I'm the campaign guy honorary for the former governor of Massachusetts, where I'm from, Mitt Romney, so let's hope that he gets in there.
You like Mitt?
Yes, great guy.
I must say, I was impressed watching his 60 Minutes expose a few weeks ago, and here's the deal. Mitt's a very religious man. He's a family man. He has all the values that my family never had. I'm an atheist. We don't care. But I like that guy, or that type of guy running the country. I like a guy who's used to turning businesses around, who took the Olympics and turned them around. I like guys who just, I like the businessmen. I like the smart businessmen who treat this country like it's a business, get it back on its feet and get it running and turning a profit again. And I don't care what God they worship. As long as they love their family and they love this country, I don't care. I'm an atheist. He is, where's he from? What's his religion?
He's Mormon.
Oh, he's Mormon, right?
That's where everybody's going after him.
I don't care. I'm an atheist. I don't care what he's into. I don't care if he's into Santeria. As long as he's a smart businessman, I don't care. So I'm with you on that one, Joe Arpaio.
Well, you're using common sense, and he's Mormon and Republican, but he still won in Massachusetts. They're all Democrat and Catholic, so he must have something on the ball.
Lock up some of them lefties, I'll bet.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, before we let you go, I have to ask you how you think Paris Hilton should serve her jail time. What sort of a sentence should she have?
Well, you do know I offer to take her here.
That's why I asked.
Can't believe she didn't take you up on that.
Well, she would have gotten a lot of publicity, or I would have.
Sure.
Both of you.
But I don't know. I would have put her in the tents. I have females in the tent city 300, and I had the only female chain gang in the history of the world. I'm an equal opportunity guy. So anyway, that's where she would have been, eating 15-cent meals, wearing pink underwear, striped uniforms, 140 degrees in the tents in the summer.
That's what the heaters turned on in July.
Space heaters out there, right?
Space heater in July.
But I offer the sheriff. He's a nice guy. He's got problems, overcrowding, everything else to take her. But evidently, she's going to stay there and do her half
the time. What do you eat for 15 cents
a meal? Well, we give them brunch. I took away breakfast and lunch, so they get brunch, which is a bologna sandwich and an orange. And then at night, we give them a hot meal.
Mm-hmm. I've had meals in prison. They are dreadful. That is the one thing you don't have to worry about your taxpayer money going to waste for.
Well,
the food
they're better in prison than they are in my jails, I'll guarantee you.
Oh, yes. I keep saying prison, and I should mean jail. All right, Joe, good speaking to you, my brother. Keep up the good work.
Keep up the good work, and once again, thank you.
Yeah, we'll come out.
All right, now, when you say come and visit me, you don't know something I don't know.
I'll take you on a tour.
That I'm cool now. It's good. Matter of fact, all you said was I had to be good for 5 years. I've been good for 17. I can actually come take a tour, and you'll let me go?
Yeah, sure. I got a lot of celebrities that come through and stay sometimes.
I know. This one didn't have to. Right on. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
No, I'm an appreciative guy. That guy scared me. Nobody else scared me.
Touring prison is, scared straight a little bit, but it's a good thing to do. I mean, I've done it. I did it with Kimmel once, went to a maximum security place, and it puts things into perspective. You see some guy. Here's a weird thing that I noticed when I was in prison. You know, there's the sort of, there's the TV version of who's in prison. So it's the big yoked black guy who's yelling, give me your shoes. This place happened to run into handfuls of friendly-looking white guys who are, like, wearing glasses and playing acoustic guitar. I ran into a guy, talked to him for quite some time. He reminded me, he was basically like Brian, like bald Brian over here. Soft-spoken, white guy, had some nice glasses, played his acoustic guitar. I said, hey, when you getting out? He said, never.
Really?
And I was like, wow, you look, geez, you seem, the guy was like 31.
He looked like an embezzler, some kind of white-collar criminal, but he couldn't have been.
He was in for murder. Ooh. And I said, well, you got your guitar. They let you bring that in? He said, no, I didn't play when I came in.
Right.
I said, wow, you play so well. Been here for 15 years.
Ugh.
I'm like, so let me get this straight. The guy looked early 30s. I mean, the guy must have went in on his 18th birthday. And he's now in his early 30s, and the answer is never. Not, I'll be up in parole in 4 years, and I'll probably be able to. Just put a smile on his face, and he said, never.
Nope, never.
Never. And there was quite a few of those guys. Now, we were in the population of lifers and murderers and whoever's, except for we were in the population of the non-troublemakers. So we weren't seeing the world's scariest guys. We were seeing the guys who wanted to get away from the world's scariest guys because they were going to be there forever and they wanted to hang on to their six-string guitar. But still, a bunch of regular-looking, soft-spoken, friendly man-show fans who just said never when you asked them when they were getting the heck out of this place.
What a terrible answer, too.
No, I swear 30 years sounds better than never. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Ah, here's something we haven't done in a while. Mr. Brightside, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. You call up. You tell me your problem. Well, again, we just talked about putting things into perspective. Yeah. The guy who who answered never to me when he was in his early 30s is now in his late 30s because we shot that thing 5 or 6 years ago, and he's exactly where he was.
But he knows how to play guitar very well. See, that's the bright side.
He's the Jimi Hendrix of Cell Block H. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with Mr. Brightside. Let me put things into perspective. Give me your problems. They will just melt away. Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show, where Adam is Mr. Brightside. You call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and the Ace Man will put a happy spin on it.
You have a son in jail?
He met this little girl on MySpace. She lied about her age, and now he's got 18 counts of statutory sexual stuff.
18 counts, right.
She was 15, but she looked like she was 19, like she said. Doesn't that make her a predator, too?
Let yourself in. I have some Paul's cookies and sweet tea.
I'm putting you in the hopper for Mom of the Year, bragging to your friends. He dotted every I and crossed every T when he was registering as a sex offender. He is a model son.
866-901-ADAM. Here's Mr. Brightside on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, everyone thinks about the horrors of having their kid being victimized by a sex offender, but how about the ongoing stink of having a registered sex offender for a child?
Yeah.
Now, most of the parents who have the registered sex offenders for kids did a little sex offending on them at an early age, so they probably don't care. But if my kid ever made that list, the dean's list.
Right.
But, there's a guy named Dean, and he has a list of
sex offenders.
Sex offenders,
very close, because of the transvestite. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I came very close to being a sex offender. Then they realized the judge... The only really, truly fair thing Judge Hamilton, I believe his name was, did, was realize that this was not a sex crime at all. Had I gone out and gotten what I wanted, it would have been a sex crime that nobody cared about.
Mm-hmm.
But because I got out and the guy had a wiener way bigger than mine and was wearing a miniskirt, that kind of pissed me off. And then he wanted money, and I thought that was robbery, so I tagged him. He turned it into a fist fight, and I just got a class B assault. So no sex crime. I
wonder if there can be a hate crime involved with that.
There could have been all sorts of things. This guy got it right. This guy, when I went out trolling for chicks, got fooled at a point where I thought, and then he demanded money. He actually also wanted to prostitute the guy for extortion.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, he thought he was going to, like, tell people. I was going to say, I don't care.
I went out trolling for trannies once, found out it was just a hot chick posing as a tranny.
That would piss me off.
I went off.
You thought, this is the best tranny I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. Those breasts feel real.
Lips are soft.
Yeah, and then I found out there was no penis. Don't make me freak is basically what I said to the guy, and it was too late. I was the Tasmanian devil inside of that minivan.
I just described myself like that yesterday. The Tasmanian devil we got.
It's apt. All right, Mr. Brightside.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Well, here's the deal. 866-901-ADAM. You have a problem? I'll put it into perspective. Roxanne? As soon as Roxanne opens her pie hole.
She was the opening act for Shields and Urinal.
She just dropped off the phone as soon
Famous
as I punched her
duo.
Up. Sarah?
Hi.
What's up, baby doll?
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Well.
Good. I love listening to you guys. You crack me up.
Thank you.
Okay, so my problem is my 30th birthday is coming up, and my fiance and I have 2 weeks off for vacation, and I've been planning, and I've never been to Mexico, so I've always wanted to kind of go do the tropical thing, and he's been everywhere. So it's my 30th birthday, and my whole, teenage life, I figured that would be my biggest birthday, and he just doesn't care. He's not into it. I mean, he's like, pick wherever you want to go, and we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just spending all this time on trying to find a really nice hotel and,
you're planning your own birthday party and that never feels right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. First off, again, in terms of putting things in perspective, you're PO'd because you got to talk to the folks at Travel Worm about taking you to Mexico when your fiance should have picked up the phone and made that call. Think about the people who live in Mexico. Just right. The place you're going. Every single one of those guys right now is swimming a river, climbing a fence, or digging a hole to get where you just left from. So the entire populace of the place you're going to is attempting to get to the place you're leaving because you need a vacation, and I have to put things into perspective for you, Sarah. Now, look, I'm sure your man is a good man. Guys have their shortcomings. This is one of them. Some of them don't. Bonaducci doesn't. Cyrano
de Bergerac
over there. Bonaducerac over there doesn't have a problem with it. But the rest of us do. And you're never going to be able to change us, unfortunately. But the good news is I'm sure this man has many other good qualities that you should embrace. So you're going to a place that is trying to escape that place and come here. That alone should be enough to put things into perspective. Sarah?
Yeah.
Do you feel any better, baby?
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And who knows what surprise your man has in store for you.
That's true. And if I may add, I don't usually add to Mr. Brightside, but just for fun, I've been in a lot of places. And there's a place on either Fiji. I've been there, but I was really drunk. On either Fiji or Tahiti, where the cabin's out on stilts over the little bay. I am telling you right now, you can go on there with every woman you've ever been with. You could have been there 50 times. It's a shock when you see that beauty every time.
Right.
It's just in like Mexico, the first time. Though. No. They're really flying now. You're going to the other side of the world. But if you're trying to take him somewhere he's never been or that will shock him by its beauty, those little houses on stilts are amazing.
Yeah,
but it's her birthday, and she wants him to take her somewhere.
Right, but the point is, as I see it, though, she also wants to not go somewhere he's been.
Plus, you're calling from Palm Springs, right?
Yeah.
All right, do me a favor. Head outside of town to the desert, take an old sofa and light it on fire and stare at it. That's like going to Mexico.
Burning Man, yeah.
There you go. All you gotta do is take something upholstered, drag it out to the desert, and stare at it for a while. You've been to Mexico.
Yeah, I can really relate to Sarah because I'm also 29.
That's right.
Looking down the barrel of that big 3-0.
Big 3-0's been around the corner for just 4 years.
Couple years.
Jacob?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. It's so nice to talk to you guys.
Well, good gravy. It's good to speak to you as well.
That's wonderful. You know what? I'm so excited to see Danny fight. That's what I'm excited about.
The real novelty.
The first one is coming up the day after the bachelor party, which means I'm going to stay all night and hang There's a movie in my life coming out, or at least if the options today at the meeting, called The Last Man Standing. That's what they chose to call it. I didn't call it that. I make a reference to it in my act that I'm always the last man standing, no matter what happens to me. So they picked that as the name. I am going to party all night long at the Key Club, May 31st, and June 1st, I'm going to knock a guy out in the second.
Where is the June 1st fight?
Well, I'm glad you're sober, so you're not hungover to knock this guy out.
No, but you know what? He wants passes, and I'm thinking about turning the girls on him. Mm-hmm. Not letting people know he's there, because I don't want to steal from my thunder, but turn some chicks on him and say, come on, let me buy you a shot. I'm going to kill him anyway. He doesn't stand a chance in the world. He hired a Pilates instructor. Swear to God, to get ready for the fight, he hired a Pilates instructor.
Good course,
wow. This is amazing.
So, if you come on out, I will hang with you all night long. Then I'll go down, beat this guy's ass, and we'll come home.
Oh, you know what? That would make my day.
Right on, dude.
Jacob, you sound like such a chipper person. I can't imagine what could be wrong.
Borders on sarcasm, but yes.
I am a chipper person. You know what? People have even said that's
a wood
fault
chipper.
Of mine.
What's that?
People have even said that's a fault of mine, how happy I tend to be.
This is damn exciting.
What could
stuff.
Possibly be wrong?
I like it.
My wife left just after Christmas.
Yeah, if I was married to her, I'd kill myself. Yes, but I like it for 5 minutes at a time. Your wife left?
Yes.
How could she leave Mr. Chipper? Who's she with? Mr. Dower?
You know what? We were a wonderful young married couple. One of these young good kids that we were the only ones we'd ever been with and all that. And you've been an unhappy camper.
Jacob, I can't believe you didn't mow down the ladies in the college years.
You know what? What can I say?
Hold on. Are you still in the one club, as they say? That's your only partner?
Yep. That's the only one.
How old a man are you?
I am 26 now.
26? You're 26?
Yep.
Huh.
Hmm. You know, not only did I have you in your, like, mid-40s, but I had you in your mid-40s sort of 50s style. You know how
retarded.
You know how dads were just dads?
Yeah.
Like, now dads don't look like dads because you see guys walking around in cargo shorts and their hair's long and they're driving a Prius. And you're like, your dad? Where's the Grecian formula and the pomade and the pipe?
The Wonder Years guy.
Like, there used to be a time when you knew some dude's dad was the dad, not his older brother, because he was wearing a cardigan with a tie and he was smoking a pipe.
Right.
And he was saying things like, fiddle faddle, son.
I've heard you use the word fiddles.
I'm only 26, and I'm a babe, and I'm a part-time rock star.
And he's only been with one woman ever.
Oh, boy. Here's the problem with being with one woman ever. It makes it so much harder to be with the second woman. I don't know what it is.
Do it the same night.
Women can smell that greenness on you. Green weenie, they call it.
Yeah.
And when they smell that green weenie, they know that's a banana that ain't going to be ready to be peeled for some time.
It's not ripe.
Hey, Jacob.
Yes.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a technician for do fancy entertainment systems. We're in a branch of a company.
Mm-hmm.
And a really, really cool fancy entertainment stuff. We could deck out your house.
You go ahead and put the surround sound system in that I can't work with the 19 remotes. Although,
you know what? We would simplify it to one remote.
Right. I know what you do. You say, hey, instead of using those 18 remotes that you can't figure out, we've solved this problem. We have one remote the size of an ottoman that you won't be able to figure out. And then I trip over that thing because it costs $3,000 for the next 5 years and eventually start screaming at my wife that she should learn how to do it because I paid for it. Sure. This isn't becoming cathartic.
Seems to me that Jacob has the world at his feet. He's young. He's got a nice job.
Jacob?
Yes.
Yeah. And your problem is you may just be too nice a guy. Now, as far as putting things into perspective with a little bright side for you.
I need it.
You got divorced at 26.
Yeah.
You got divorced. You've only been with one woman. You don't want to go to your grave only being with one woman sexually.
No, of course not. No.
Well, if you were married and you never got divorced, then you would have to have an adulterous affair in order to be with another woman. Otherwise, you would go to your grave just being with one woman. Well, now, legally and morally, you can be with as many women as you want while you're single. So first, a piece of advice. Have your fun before you tie the knot. Don't marry the second woman you're with, and it's going to be an impulse because that's the way you're wired. Be with a few women, then go ahead and marry the fifth one you're with.
Second, well, Yes. I'm thinking, should I just ask Teresa out?
Well, you know, Jacob,
I need some new coaxial cable or anything.
Does she like the younger men? Like I said,
I do,
a
actually.
Babe and a part-time rock star.
Well, you do sound very sweet.
And a nice guy.
I was just thinking the first guy I slept with, he was the only guy I'd been with for 4 years, and I was dying of curiosity to see what somebody else would be like. Mm-hmm. So you have that to look forward to, Jacob, even if it's not me. You have that to look forward to.
Dude, if you're going to be this nice, it could be me. That's cool.
Hey, Jacob?
Yes?
What's the name of your band, just because it'll be funny?
Oh, good for you.
The name of the, you're going to laugh. The name of the band, Reggae Rock, it is El Jerko.
El Jerko.
El Jerko. Wow. Now, band's name in high school. I should have seen El Jerko.
Describes Jacob's Friday nights.
It has absolutely no reference to masturbation.
We'll decide.
Well, I just
that.
Lost all interest for me, man.
All right, Jacob. She dumped you, right?
Yes.
As I've said before, I've been dumped and I've dumped other people. Dumping other people comes with more baggage than being dumped. You have to perpetually walk around knowing that you've wounded somebody, perhaps forever. You'll bounce back. You're a happy guy.
Yeah,
you're
sweet.
Young. You're going to be with other women. This El Jerko band's going to be at the top of the charts in a few short weeks, and there'll be international tours and private jets and groupies throwing themselves at you. Please. Cry me a river. Rebecca?
Yeah.
Thank you. Last call of the day. What do you got, sister?
First, I want to say, hey, Teresa, I got some Jewish love for you, baby.
Oh, thanks, Rebecca.
My stepdad is a real estate agent in Southern California, and he was really affected by the downfall in the market that's happened recently over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, my mom's close to retirement age, and he's financially destroyed her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in a situation now where he owes the IRS in excess of $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
And although it was prior to their marriage, they're going to start garnishing her wages. And they're allocating maybe a third of what she needs to pay her mortgage. So as a result, she has to sell the house.
They can garnish the wages of a spouse even if you got into the trouble with IRS before the marriage?
I've been just going
it wherever they can get it.
You marry their problems.
What a shocker.
Yep. Call a cat named Adam Sachs. That's the guy who's representing me. He's doing a really good job.
Let me ask you, Rebecca, if she can't pay her mortgage, is she going to have to stay with you?
I live 400 miles away from her, and she's currently employed, so that's not an option. I've been kicking her down as much money as I can, but I'm a single mom. There's only so much that I make in a month.
So I've been
giving her as much as I can. But
all right, so the problem is mama and stepdad.
Yep.
All right. Well, look, again, financial problems, while devastating to us in this region because we have plenty of clean water, plenty of transportation, plenty of food, so we get caught up in financial problems.
Our poor are rich in the rest of the world.
Yes, you go to 90% of the rest of the world. You go to parts of Africa and India and places like that. When they're poor, they can't buy rice. Not they owe the IRS some money. Your mom is always going to be able to eat. She'll always have a roof over her head. She'll be poor in a very relative way. Not world poor, just Los Angeles poor.
Yeah.
And even parts of this country like Mississippi and places like that. Not even that kind of poor, just white person poor, which is you owe people money even though you have money. You still have enough to provide for yourself. You just owe the man some money. So, A, put that in perspective. B, stepdad is a real estate guy. He's out here. I'm from out here. The market is on the rebound. And the great thing about selling real estate is you're one score away from getting right back into the black. So, stepdad has one score. He's back in the black. And again, poor. Very relative poor.
Yeah.
We have fat people with 8 TVs that are poor.
Right.
In this country, we have people that have transportation, food, and who go on vacations who are considered poor.
Homeless people on vacation. How do you need a vacation from a place you don't live?
I saw a guy pushing a gold shopping cart the other day and sleeping in an ivory refrigerator box. That's poor. How dare you call our poor? Our poor would be amongst the top 10% in the rich department of your country.
I believe that to be true.
Our poor is
probably the 10% richest people in the world, would be my guess.
Well, there you go.
Feel better? We knew you would.
Put on a happy
face.
Well, I'm going to put on an even happier face because T's news is coming up next. What's in it, baby doll?
Why morning sex is important to you. You're going to want to hear this. And what has happened to Paula Abdul's face?
Somebody had morning sex with it? That and a meat grinder?
Well, broke the nose. I'd like to meet that guy. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Melbourne, Florida. A 54-year-old man was arrested for groping women at a bar while dressed as Captain America. Definitely not a Jew.
Had a nice talk with my wife last night about definitely not a Jew.
What'd she have to say?
Well, we know it wasn't good because
why do we know that?
We don't talk about the things that were.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't like definitely not a Jew as a bit?
She said, why is that guy yelling the whole thing?
She must love me.
That's kind of how it went.
Wow. Note from Mike Dawson.
And she said, and I can barely understand your name. Al Carolla, Ad Carolla. What kind of abbreviated? I said, no, it's Alcoa. What's Alcoa? And by the way, if you're looking for some backup, you know when you get in that argument with somebody once in a while, you'll say something and they'll go, what is utter bomb? I never heard of utter bomb. And then you turn to the person next to you and you go, Bob, you know what utter, sure, I know what utter bomb is. And then that other person looks like an idiot.
Right.
But if he doesn't know what it is, then you look like the idiot.
Right. I'm with you.
Nannies from El Salvador aren't great to have. Is your corner man when you're doing that, what's Alcoa?
So Olga chimed in and said, what's Alcoa?
What's Alcoa? Now, my wife thought that Alcoa, and Alcoa is probably the biggest manufacturer of aluminum in the world.
Okay, good.
And when I
knew that.
When I grew up, I used to watch 70s football games, and they had this bit called Alcoa Presents You Make the Call.
I remember that. And I remember that.
That's where Alcoa Presents... Definitely not a Jew. But for the last year and a half, my wife thought Alcoa was some sort of mispronunciation of Adam Carolla.
Mispronunciation
of Adam Carolla.
Miss Universe. Mispronunciation. I voted for her.
Well, just so I know, does she have any trouble with definitely not a Jew other than the delivery?
No. She hates Jews. No, please don't get me wrong for a second, Teresa. She loathes the culture, the religion. I mean, the whole shamil,
as
she says, you people.
Let's not tell her.
She didn't know you're a Jew. And then, B, when I pointed out you're a Jew, she said, one of the good ones. And she said, like one of the few good ones. Like Oprah's one of the good ones as well. Not in the Jews. But I remember that episode. You do the math. The point is then I had to think to myself, well, I'm sure fully 73% of our audience has no idea what Alcoa is. Yeah. And then I realized I'm not going to dumb it down for them. I would love them to go look it up or be confused or tune out. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't get in this business to explain people comedy.
I think you'll be proud of me on this. In my book, I wrote, just like Blanche DuBois, I have always relied on the kindness of strangers.
Right.
I have just relied on them not to have any. That was the line.
Ah, that's good.
And the editor said, you have to write Blanche DuBois from Streetcar Named Desire.
Right.
Or no one will know what it is. And I said, I didn't write it for them. I wrote it for the people who bothered to read the book and will know it's Streetcar. And you know what they did? They actually put in this. This is what it says in my book. I could have killed somebody. It says, just like Blanche DuBois from Glass Menagerie.
No!
Yes.
Oh,
my editor at Hyperion did that.
And that made the final.
Except for the paperback when I flipped out and threatened to come to New York and kill people.
I flipped. The only flip out I have regarding a book was over almost the same thing, which is at some point in the book I wrote with Dr. Drew, there's a reference to a lumber rack. I said I drove a pickup truck with a bed box and a lumber rack. Right. And they wrote lumbar
like your
rack,
spine.
Like your lower lumbar rack.
Of all people.
And I was like, Well, first off, has anyone ever heard of a lumbar rack? And everyone looked at each other and said, no, we haven't heard of a lumbar rack. And I said, well, that probably means it doesn't exist.
Isn't that one of those cabbies use?
It makes it sound like you have some kind of orthopedic pillow.
Yeah. Right. So I said,
and you're gay.
I said, no, it's not lumbar rack, people. I circled it. I said, it's lumber rack. It's a rack that holds lumber. It's right in the name. It's what you put on top of your pickup trucks. You can carry lumber. And they said, all right, noted. And then they printed out 200,000 copies, and they all said lumbar rack. And I thought, fantastic. You guys are doing an excellent job.
Who pointed out that mistake to you?
Oh, that's a good point. I had my assistant read it to me.
Come to think of it, I think somebody pointed out that mistake to me, because I read the book. I wrote the book word for word, every single word, yeah. Every ghostwriter. So why would I read it? When they said edit it, I called them up being
Joe. It's a good book. I called them up.
Thank you. I called them up being Joe Bonaducci, my dad. And I said, every word in that book is golden, and they won't touch any of them. So what I do is pull out whole chapters that I didn't think were as important, rather than take a sentence out. So every word in that book is exactly as I wrote it.
I think I read that one thing because it was a list. There was a list of 10.
Said many times you never read your own book.
I didn't. This was a list of how do you know you're a lesbian. And it was a list. It was a list of 10 items.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
And I was specifically handed the list. So, of course, I'm not going to read the book because that's reading. But a list that has 10 jokes on it, I will read to make sure it's in order.
There's that other list, 10 ways to know you're fired. And the top one is correct your boss when he thought he was funny.
Right.
Yeah. Not just put that out there for you, Brian. No problem. Just because I love you.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. There's I got a list of how you know you're bald. Top, mirror. Second, mirror. Third, mirror is your forehead. Fourth, regular mirror.
Also, copious
Fifth,
number of hats.
Chicks won't describe you because you don't have a mirror.
That's right. T.
Teresa Strasser.
There we go.
The number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Bad news for a monkey at the Denver Zoo. The monkey was acting lethargic, and then it was found dead by a zookeeper. Apparently, this monkey had been infected by the plague.
She had herpes.
Well, we discussed this a couple weeks ago. A story came out that herpes can inoculate you against the plague, and a lot of animals in the Denver area have been getting plague. Now, this monkey, how they think this monkey contracted the plague is from a squirrel. Lots of squirrels in rural areas near there have plague.
Look, I don't want to judge, but a monkey having sex with a squirrel is not right. Well, I'm an atheist, and even I turn my nose up at that.
I don't know why you went there. The primate ate the carcass of an infected squirrel.
Okay, you have sex with a squirrel, and then you eat its carcass. I'm sorry, but that's where I draw the line.
I'm not sure they had sex. I think he might have just eaten.
Okay, whatever. You have oral with a squirrel, and then you eat its dead carcass. I'm sorry. I just don't want to hear about that in the news, Teresa.
I'm sorry. Well, this 8-year-old monkey.
Brian's side of the room right now.
This 8-year-old monkey is no
You
more.
Have sex with an underage monkey as a squirrel. Then you have a stroke, and the monkey eats you, and now the monkey dies. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about that with my breakfast in the news, D.
I don't even know which one of you I'm calling PETA on.
That's right.
I'm very sorry. Now, one form of the plague, the bubonic, is believed to have been the Black Death that killed 25 million people in Europe.
Okay, some black guy.
That's what they call.
Got bit by a squirrel.
Yeah. Bubonic, not a bad
By the way,
for a black guy.
I wasn't going to point out the other day that you were a little over 100 years off in a full country, but that was okay when you pulled out the plague.
Bubonic.
Yeah. You put it in about 1415, it was 1312 and started in England.
I think there have been many plagues throughout the course of time.
The black plague started 1312 in England, promise.
This is the, I believe you, I can't know everything.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I can know nothing and make this crap up because you're so like frail, you'll just agree.
I know. I'm like, whatever. Please don't hurt me. So as we were talking about before, some scientists do feel that herpes can inoculate you against this particular strain of plague.
Right. Okay, T, I've heard enough of your sex animal, black guy, monkey, underage. I've just had enough.
Does the name Ron Mexico mean anything to you?
Yeah. Okay, now.
Yeah, he's the king of Mexico.
Unfortunately, no. Oh. Ron Mexico is a pseudonym for a football player, a QB named Michael Vick. Now, I found this interesting. I thought about this because I thought, you know, as we've discussed openly, I wouldn't say anything. Danny takes some medication.
All sorts.
Right, but some of which I keep. Right. And administer. And I noticed it has your name right on the prescription. And I thought, what if you had a very recognizable name like Adam Carolla or Danny Bonaducci, and you needed to get a prescription filled, and you didn't want to use your real name? Well, this Michael Vick was being treated for herpes, allegedly, and he used the name Ron Mexico. That was his herpes name.
Way to fly under the radar.
Right, yeah, I don't know what's that.
And then this woman sued him for, you know, giving her herpes. They settled out of court. We don't know what really happened. It was never, it never went to trial.
By the way, that is actionable. If a guy knows he has herpes and gives them to you, you can totally sue him.
Sure.
That seems fair. Yeah. Now, this same guy who used the name Ron Mexico, Michael Vick, from the Atlanta Falcons, the prosecutors and the NFL are trying to find out what's going on with him and a dog ring. They think he might be involved in a dog ring at a Virginia house that he owned. Now, here, a Washington Redskins running back named Clinton Portis explains why it doesn't matter even if he was involved in planning dog fights.
You want to hunt down Michael Vick over fighting some dogs, you know? I think people should mind their business, you know? You take somebody that's doing positive in the community, you take a positive role model and put them behind bars for no reason, you know, over a dog fight. I'm from Lawrence, Mississippi, so I know a lot of back roads that got a dog fight if you want to go see it.
Wow.
Sure, nothing wrong with animals trying to kill each other for your entertainment.
By the way, should I point out at this juncture what kind of medication T keeps for me?
Yeah.
Do we not care? I don't care.
I'd like to know.
There is. When Gretchen said she was going to divorce me, I know that Jack Silver and Bob Moore put their job on the line for me, saying to their bosses, he's not crazy. And their boss is saying he is an alcoholic. He'll never make it. He won't last. And I had done fine. Everybody liked me. This was, a month ago now she's done this. So I was covered, but I figured I love her. I'm going to come in with red eyes. I'm not going to have slept. I'm going to look awful. They're going to worry. So what do? There's a pill called Anabuse that makes it impossible for you to drink. So I brought it in. I gave it to T. And I said, will you do me a favor? We just put this in my mouth every morning. And if somebody says, your eyes are all red, you look really funny, I'll go ask Teresa. Now, you know, because nobody's going to believe it. This is a terrible thing about being an alcoholic and a liar, is just because you happen to be telling the truth does not mean you deserve to be believed.
Right.
You've lied so many times.
And I thought that was a responsible decision.
But they'll believe Teresa.
The boy who cried booze.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But they'll believe Teresa. I knew they would. So the day before she filed, I brought in the pills, and Teresa gives me one every morning.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. What do you think she was putting in my mouth? A love finger?
Pez. I didn't know what that was.
Well, you get violently ill if you drink alcohol while you're taking Anabuse.
Actually, the young girl I was talking to recently, because I told her that you did the Google search on it.
Right.
She found three people have died from drinking on that stuff.
Yeah, it's no joke. And it has a sort of a long half-life, so you have to be careful.
60 hours.
Yeah. Michael Vick, one of these.
Ron Mexico,
one of the stars of the NFL, is quickly, his star's tarnishing just a little bit. He's bringing stuff through the airport. He's dogfighting again. Dogfighting, people.
Dogfighting's the grossest.
I feel pretty safe that where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, you show me a guy who's really excited about seeing dogs dismember each other. I'll show you a guy who's probably doing worse things when he gets back to his house. And who knows where he got that money to gamble on those dogs that were trying to kill each other. I'm talking about your average guy who enjoys seeing that.
Yeah.
I love judging. I'm not one of your pussies who's scared to judge. When I see a guy watching dogs fighting and not turning a hose on him yelling, we got to break this up, but instead going nuts and handing money back and forth to somebody, I'll show you a bad guy.
A bad scene, absolutely.
It's not a cultural thing. It's not a judgment thing. I am judging. It's bad. Right. These guys are wrong. Michael Vick's an idiot and an ass for this. And the NFL, if the NFL is going to take actions about their players smoking weed or drinking or getting popped for a DUI or popping their girlfriend, this should be right at the top of their list.
Absolutely. Sure. Cruelty to animals is how it starts with all the
serial killers.
Like torture animals.
Right.
A delightful side note to this story, when this Ron Mexico thing was going down, a lot of people ordered Michael Vick's number jersey, Falcon jersey, and put Mexico is the name.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So that would be a collector's item. You're never going to believe this, but I have another story about animals and sex. But it's a happy story.
Good.
Not like what happened with the squirrel and the monkey.
Wow, that was just sick, Teresa.
I'm very sorry. Monkey ate the dead squirrel. Here's the situation with female chickens. Mm-hmm. According to a new study by Stockholm University in Sweden, more and more hens are initiating sex with roosters in the morning. The reason is that way, and this is what they're, I'm going to say rooster because the other word makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That way the roosters will leave them alone for the rest of the day and they can get things done. In chicken societies where there are more males than females, the males are very aggressive sexually. And as the researchers say, a bunch of them will constantly sexually harass a female all day until she has sex with them. So now the female chicken is initiating sex right away. Get it over with.
Mm-hmm. And when you say leaves the day to get things done.
Chicken type
like
stuff.
Roll around in their own fecal matter.
That takes 2-3 hours. You
what's on
that?
Your punch list as
gotta
a chicken?
You got to sit on your egg. Got to walk around with your head cut off?
Yeah, I think you run around with your head cut off.
Yeah.
Michael Vick wants to fight the two.
Oh yeah.
Two
that's
cocks
right.
later
fighting.
On. Sure.
Yeah. There's that.
All right. So you just you give it up. So are we suggesting that American women ought to do this just like the chickens?
Well, there could be an analogous benefit. You know, mm-hmm. if you're with somebody who's very sexually aggressive or needy, mm-hmm. can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Well, look, if you're one of the ladies that's listening that may be a future Mrs. Bonaducci and you go out on a first date with him, instead of being undressed with his gaze or sexually harassed for the entire dinner and you just want to enjoy dinner.
Right.
About you just let him blow off a little steam in the car before you guys enter the restaurant.
Would you appreciate totally fair. That?
Yes. And then you guys can sit down and really figure out what kind of human being this is. Because if you're eating with a guy who wants to have sex with you, you're not going to get the real version of the guy.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to give this advice to my young daughter. Have sex with a monkey.
Right.
No. Have sex with a guy on his stoop. When I say stoop, I don't mean his lap. I mean on the stoop right. of the house. Have sex. Then go out to dinner with him and find out what kind of individual he really is. First off, half the guys will say, no, thanks. I'm not hungry, and just slam the door.
Right.
You'll know right then
right.
and there.
That was a decent guy.
Because it's like when you go out with a guy, it's like a job interview. Of course the guy is freshly scrubbed and shaved, and he's wearing his best suit, and he's saying yes, sir, no, sir.
And he's on to catch a predator.
Right, and he's looking. If you go on a job interview and you talk to a guy, that's not the employee you're going to get. Right. You are going to get yes, sir, no, sir. I'm right. a company player. I'm a team player. Yes, sir, no, sir, whatever. 6 months into the gig, the guy's drunk, and he's stealing office materials, and he's effing the new receptionist in the janitor's closet. You need to see that guy 6 months in to find out what the real employee would be like. Now, when a guy goes out with a girl for dinner on a first date and he wants to go home and hopefully have sex or maybe get to third base, oh, baby, you look beautiful. I'm all ears. Let me tell you how much work I put in. I donate my time over at the homeless shelter, and then I go work with the puppies. I rescue a lot of puppies. You get all that.
Yeah.
But you have sex with a guy right there in the entry hall of his house the first date. And then you go out to dinner, you'll get the real version of the guy.
And he liked you.
Yes.
Right, because you have that moment of clarity
he wouldn't
the minute
go
the sex
to,
is over.
A, he wouldn't go to dinner right. if he wasn't and really he, into you or really hungry.
And he would not go to Georgia Rule.
He would not unless, go see course, Georgia Rule with you.
Unless,
right?
of course, he's me. And I would have sex with you before we went. Then we'd go see the movie and have sex again. Then go out to dinner and come home and have sex.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Passionate. Is that a trifecta? Three?
In a whole night? No, three. But well, two, yeah. in like a whole night, if I really like her and she's new, two would be minimum, or I'd still be like I have a headache when I got home.
The more you know. Well, I will just close with this. In the world of entertainment, it's the big American Idol finale tonight. Paula Abdul had some drama over the weekend. Mm. She was trying to avoid trampling on Tulip, her chihuahua. A lot of animals in the news.
Yeah.
And she fell. And she ate it, and she reportedly walked away with a broken nose. She didn't need to be hospitalized, and her representative says she's fine, and this will have no effect whatsoever on her appearance on American Idol. But I'm sure, and Danny, maybe you have an opinion on this, but can you pump yourself up with a lot of steroids and reduce inflammation and still look okay with a broken nose?
Cortisone
in your
which
nose?
Which happens to be a steroid, but not the kind you're thinking, but yes. Anything made of cartilage or tendon, yes, you can shrink right down.
When you hear about Hasselhoff getting into a fight with a chandelier, and he claims he was sober. And then you hear about Lindsay Lohan. She's not drinking. She just falls into a lot of shrubbery.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lovely affliction.
When you hit your nose on the ground before your hands hit the ground first,
yeah,
that's not a great sign. Tripping over one's chihuahua, commendable.
You know
I would
what?
Prefer you wear a steel shank boot and just step on the chihuahua next time. I'd like to put all chihuahuas out like cigarettes on a sidewalk. I can't stand
it. Wow.
I don't like chihuahuas are horrible.
Because that's not a stomp.
Horrible,
that's a stomp with a double twist.
Those horrible creatures. You know what I'd like to do with the chihuahuas?
All right.
I would like to get one of those surgical tubing water balloon launchers,
yeah,
and then take a helicopter and mount it up on the side of a building, fire the rotary blades up, and just take a bucket of chihuahuas and fire them into the blades. That's what I would love to. Chihuahuas are horrible, despicable. Now, look.
Now, I don't mean to make this comparison.
We don't mind killing rats, do we?
No.
No.
We don't mind killing rats.
They carry disease.
They're little. They have a bad attitude. They carry disease. They're horrible little ugly creatures. Same with chihuahuas. They're horrible. So she should have stepped on the chihuahua, number one. But number two, when the nose makes contact with the tile on the kitchen floor.
Yeah. In other words, if you were sober, you would break your fall with your
hands. I have been so drunk that I have just fallen over in mid-conversation, hit my head on the floor, and by instinct, even out cold, I have no recollection of hitting the floor. My hands protected my face and head.
And that's the story they put together. Look,
right,
all I'm saying is when a guy walks into work Monday morning with a black eye, and he says his hand slipped off the shaving cream thing and he punched himself or something. Assume a guy punched him in a bar. The guy found out he was cheating with his wife, punched him out. His own wife punched him out. You see that black guy. Ignore the story about him hitting the garage door when it wasn't half open or whatever. Figure he got punched. And when someone keeps hitting their face on things, assume they weren't stone cold sober. That's all I'm saying.
Probably a safe assumption. And I noticed Lynn and Alex are here.
They have
a gossip website. And maybe they will know more. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Yes, Lynn and Alex, the world's gayest couple.
They're married.
They're married. That's right. Not in the eyes of God. But... in the
first
eyes,
chihuahuas and now the gays.
I hate gay people.
Chihuahuas.
I've met seven of them in my life. They've all tried to bite me.
They have a little bit of a yip.
They're aggressive. They're most aggressive dogs. And the people that like them are even worse than them themselves. That's who they should fight. That's who Michael Vick should.
Then
a chihuahua fighting.
Chihuahua.
I would watch that. A couple of flyweights going at it. They both die. Where was I? Yes, The Amazing Race. Lynn and Alex, the gay couple from The Amazing Race, also the greatest gay gossipers in the world, will be on our show next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Jimmy Kimmel.
Hello?
Hi, is this the candy store?
Yes, it is.
My name is Terrence. I'm Rosie O'Donnell's assistant. Are you familiar with Rosie?
Yes.
Okay. It is Rosie's birthday coming up, and every year on her birthday, we rent out a candy store for the whole day. And Rosie just goes wild. She goes berserk, and she eats whatever she can see. And we don't leave until she's sick, and we carry her out of there. It's a tradition she does, and we were interested in renting out your store.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rosie.
Yeah, you do? You like Rosie? Well, Rosie likes you, too. Let me ask you a couple of things about the candies that you have. Do you have Rolos?
No, because you know what? This store was originally a penny candy store.
Oh, yes. Old school, old type of candies.
Pico sticks.
Oh.
Kisses.
Yes. Raisinets?
No, but we can get some from
Okay, yes, yes. We need those in mass. Something that you could not just eat, but maybe even dive into.
Oh, wow.
Now, how is the candy presented? Is it in a trough-style situation? Because that's what she likes. She likes to open the trough and scoop the candy out and just eat out of the scooper. Do you think you'll have 9 hours worth of candy for her to eat?
9 hours?
Yes.
She will not eat 9 hours worth of candy.
Oh, yes, she will. We had to have her stomach pumped last year.
Wow.
It's why she's put on so much weight. Now, here's what we're going to do. On her birthday, every year, I blindfold her and I lead her to the store. And when she walks in the door, I'd like a jingling of bells, and then I would like everyone to yell, "Happy candy birthday, Rosie!"
Happy candy birthday, Oh, wow, yes. I'm so for this.
Can you give me an idea of how that would sound if you were to yell that?
Okay. Happy candy birthday, Rosie!
That's terrific. That's really terrific. Are you a lesbian?
No.
Okay. All right, then.
But I'm bi.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. What Rosie would like also, she loves her children. She is a wonderful, committed mother. She's adopted more than 12 children.
Oh, wow.
And she would like to have the names of her favorite two children written out in gummy worms.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So her son is Parker Jaron.
Okay.
And her favorite daughter is Chelsea Bell.
Oh, okay.
What she'll do is she'll walk in. Everyone will yell, "Happy candy birthday, Rosie." And then she will move towards the gummy worms, which will spell out the names of her children. She will devour those, and she will move on to the other candy areas of the store.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I have an idea. Maybe we could fill the bathtub with Almond Joy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All we ask is just a couple of things, that the employees and the staff do not interrupt her feeding.
Okay.
It could be dangerous. Someone could get bitten. If we could have a few buckets placed in various places around the store in case she were to vomit or throw up, which she will. And I know you mentioned that you were bisexual. I don't know if you're interested. Maybe what we can do is this. We'll have Rosie size you up and see if she wants a little piece of you, too, while she's there.
But I don't know,
cause you've been so helpful, and I so look forward to seeing you. Rosie looks forward to eating your candy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Nice.
The great Jimmy Kimmel. Prank anchors.
That was Kimmel?
MTV2. That's right. Jimmy Kimmel.
I was outside. They said, it's a technical term. They said, we're going to bump in with the crank anchors, which means there's going to be no introduction. It's just going to start.
Three more smokes for Bonnet.
I just chased my cigarette and wandered in. And then there were the gay guys and you. And
here we
you
are.
Didn't know. But to be honest,
that's fake gay.
I thought it was one of them, that you knew them from before. That was really good.
We have real gay in studio. We have authentic.
I know. We have me and these guys.
Let me explain what Kimmel is. He is the Naugahyde gay to Lynn and Alex's hand-tooled leather gay.
Yes, man. You are Corinthian.
That's right.
No gay me.
No, he's pleather.
Yes.
Compared to your gaither.
Well, and we're slippery leather.
I'm now obsessed with their website, which is called LA Rag Mag.
Yes, it is. Love it.
Since the last time they were on, they get a lot of gossip, and they know, they have some information on Paula Abdul.
Let's quickly, before we do that, let's just quickly give, first off, their credentials.
Yes.
You know they know what's going on inside Hollywood because they're gay.
Yes.
And Lynn and Alex, and they're the gay couple from The Amazing Race, season 7.
Yes.
All right. So, now, Paula Abdul, broken nose, stepped on a chihuahua.
Broken nose, broken sobriety. Basically what's happened with Paula from a very reliable source. We do love Paula, we'll preface this. And just because she likes to wear trans and dermal medication patches does not mean we love her any less. She obviously is suffering from a lot of pain.
Right.
She wears morphine patches, and we've heard from a very good source she goes on 3 or 4 day long bingers. Poor girl.
She's not tripping over her cat.
She's
or her
tripping
dog.
On acid. Let's get real, people.
She is wasted.
Well, again, when your nose makes contact with the floor and you're not in your 90s, there's usually a substance involved.
How do you get a morphine patch? I can't get a Valium.
Yeah, I think you would have to be hooked up in Hollywood, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She probably is friends with someone who works in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, and a while ago she and a while ago she was in a car wreck, and so, you know, you can just keep getting that medicine forever.
But you know what, can I just tell you in all honesty, doctor shopping is kind of a myth, because the reason is that a reasonable Vicodin habit, Vicodin habit. And I, this was not one of my drugs of choice, but I just happened to room with a guy that everybody knows who it was, and he went up to 55 a day.
Oh, my God.
That's actually, I've heard 110 from Dr.
Oh
Drew.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Drew used to say he treated people that 100 Vicodin a day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So here's what you got to get. You got to get a doctor that will give you a prescription for 30 Vicodin in the first place with 3 refills. And then you've got to get 30 doctors to do it. And that middle number in the upper right-hand corner is their DEA number.
Mm-hmm.
So doctor shopping, you're going to gangsters.
Well,
that's
thank
you
for those tips.
Yes, Paula, keep an eye out. You don't want to overshop, girl.
You know, and we also know a lot of the reality gossip. We have Rebecca Cardon from Workout Naked on our website. Oh, my God.
Love her naked. Love her dress.
She's
better naked. Everybody
right.
is,
she
right?
butt naked?
Yeah, she is
well,
butt
she's
naked.
Not showing, like, hot pink or anything, but she definitely...
The reason I ask is I'm 47,
right.
and I'm possibly in the best shape ever except for my face, And I think if I'm ever going to pose naked, now is the time.
Well, so we have a camera with us.
I'm looking for an outlet. Well, I would do it with a girl with, like, a really hot body or something, like that girl. Oh. Do something with her.
Wow. Oh. We'll bring the body oil.
So if we bring, if we set
I'll
up the shoot, you
will
be naked with Rebecca.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
I love it.
You heard
Let
it
Let me
here,
just
people.
Clarify. Full frontal.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh,
I'm getting all hot.
Tingly.
No, I figured.
Law file 9.
This is my shot, man. I'm 6% body fat, and within a couple of years, I'm going to be 12% again.
I know. And if women can photograph themselves pregnant.
Yeah, we'll make it artsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some shade on
airbrush me
you.
A giant wing.
I want those red pubes to be tasteful.
Well, you know, we
you
can.
You said they were.
We can do a chunk on me. That's
they tasted salty. That's different.
I would like the photo to be black and white and red.
Oh, wow. That's very
artsy. Call Dave LaChapelle.
Lynn and Alex both here. LynnandAlexWorld.com is where you go for more of this information. So we have the chick from the Celebrity Workout Show naked on your website. Who else do we have?
Well, we've got the Celebrity Bull Riding on CMT. We have some of the cast members from that.
Now, CMT hasn't told you which celebrities are going to be on Celebrity Bull Riding.
You are hearing this here first.
I know I'm not going to be. That was the job first. Well,
but you could have been.
You could have been.
You could have been. They have people like...
I would watch you ride a bull.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have people like Vanilla Ice, Leif Garrett, and Ponyboy from The Outsiders, who actually does a show here on the weekends. C. Thomas Howell.
Love him.
Is going to be on the show.
And also, we have Crazy Johnny Fairplay, who is going to be appearing on the show.
Of course, like Crazy Johnny Fairplay's on the show.
Yes, they're going to... it's for the professional bull riding tour. They're actually going to document
it. Just real quickly, without any comment, can you go through that? Okay. Vanilla Ice, I made him beg not to beat him up in Denny's. I made him beg me in front of his friends.
Why? What did he say?
Because he said on TV that after Celebrity Boxing, where Todd Bridges kicked his ass, he couldn't fight at all, and I made reference to it because I bet on Vanilla Ice. I thought he was tough.
Right.
Yeah, I would think
And
that.
He fought like a little girl. And Todd just beat his ass, and I made mention of it. So he said on Surreal Life how he wanted to kick my ass, so I walked in. And I said, go ahead, either get up right now or beg me not to hurt you.
Oh, my God, I'm so proud of you.
Not to hurt you
went Joe Bonaducci on him.
And I said it calmly. I said, just beg. Just say, please, I beg you, don't hurt me, Mr. Bonaducci.
And he's there with his friends.
He's trying to enjoy a moon over my hammy. And here comes Bonaducci in there making you beg.
Making you beg. It's not like making you ask. No, it was, you have to say the word beg.
It was Vanilla Ice's birthday.
You get a free
meal.
I give him something to blow out.
What about Leif Garrett?
Yeah, you guys are friends,
No, but only because he has no sense of humor. I make no... I'm much crueler to me than I am to him about being a washed up has been, all those jokes.
Right.
He just doesn't find them funny at all.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Most guys who slam heroin have a wonderful sense of humor. I'm wondering what happened to Leif.
An NA meeting is like a roast. It's hilarious.
Because there's two things I've learned in life. Yeah, washed up child stars and guys who slam heroin normally have spectacular, gregarious senses of humor.
Yeah.
And especially great sense of humor about themselves. Yes, Leif Garrett has zero sense of humor. I've met him a few times. He takes himself very, very seriously.
Now, Gary Coleman has a tendency to do that too, right?
Yes.
Except for the heroin
I never
thing.
Threatened to beat him up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe he needs some heroin.
I threatened to give him a kidney shot once knowing he doesn't have any because I thought that was funny.
By the way, that would be like a hat trick of hate crimes. Like, you punch Gary Coleman, you could be prosecuted under like 15
so
different
levels.
Hate crimes right there.
Minority. God,
double curse.
All right. So Celebrity Bull Riding.
Yes, it's a new show for CMT. It's going to be awesome. 1 hour premiere. And you're hearing it first. Vanilla Ice, Leif Garrett, Ponyboy from The Outsiders, and Johnny Fairplay.
Yes, and then also, you know, the rumor around town is that Gail King, Oprah's best friend slash lesbian girlfriend, is out to adopt a baby in Africa. And she's already halfway through. She's got the lawyer. She's got the adoption agency.
And she's got the money.
Of course, she's got the money. So some little baby girl in Africa is a billionaire now.
Yay, Oprah and Gail. Totally.
Which is just going to fuel rumors that they're lesbian lovers. I mean, let's get real.
I mean, she's like as lesbian as Rosie is.
Do you really? Now, she's single, right?
Well, Gail? She's got an ex. They all have exes and they all have... Well, okay. Oprah and Stedman are... Yeah, they're like
right.
Tom
they
Cruise
do that, but like someone like Gail King, like ultimately, if you're fairly attractive and she's fairly attractive, and you're fairly successful and you're high profile, meaning you're all over the TV set, even if chicks and gay guys are the only people watching,
you should be with someone if you want to be with someone. T, I'm talking
yes.
to you.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. I'm attractive. I make a nice living. I have a high profile job, and I can't find a date.
I just prefer to be alone.
If Gail King wanted to be with a guy, I yes. think she would be with a guy.
100%.
Why,
Adam,
why
you
would
are
she
right.
be? She's got a billionaire girlfriend.
She mm-hmm. has a billionaire girlfriend. But what happened to Stedman? Did he get lost on vacation?
He seems to be on the milk carton. He's missing. I haven't heard anything.
I think he's hiding inside of Oprah.
If someone knows where Stedman is, please call me.
Well, is Gail going to end up on The View? Is there any chance of that?
No, she's not that good.
I think she wants her. Well, there are rumors, Alex, you have read them, that she is being courted for the show. But I don't know. I think Gail wants her own show. She's got her own radio show.
Do you think Oprah could muscle her onto The View if she wanted to?
Yes, I think Oprah could buy the network.
Oprah's the top. Yeah.
Oprah's the big boss.
Oprah's the top.
Yeah. She's not, well, yeah. No, are you talking about she's the top with her?
Yeah, no, the top.
Listen, I saw the road trip and Oprah's in charge.
How close you were to working with Donnie Most when you came back from vacation.
I thought you were Donnie Most for the first 4 weeks. Well, you're red hair, you're well spoken. No,
that's not Potsy.
Can I ask? It's boozy, actually.
Sometimes I think I'm so clever.
Let me ask you guys a quick gay-related question.
Oh, I love gay questions.
You guys are married in the lesbian community.
Oh, okay.
Is there a top and a bottom, metaphorically?
Actually, there is.
It's more like a buzzer and a buzzy.
But not always, though, right?
What do you mean a buzzer?
Goodness gracious!
If let's say you're the top most of the time.
Thank you for the sound effect.
Yes, there is.
You will switch just to be friendly.
I think hetero relationships too.
Yeah, I mean, there's switch hitters, but in girls, I think a lot of times there is the main bull, as you would call it, and they tend to be the more domineering type. But I don't really know if one's always wearing the strap on or not. I mean, I would.
That's
tend
a really
to think,
sore
yes.
subject for gay people. Like people always ask us, like, who's the man in the relationship?
You're both men.
You're both chicks. I mean,
yeah,
we're
both chicks.
As long as I brought it up, you're both trampy chicks.
In a gay relationship, we both think that we're the man. Like, I think I am the man in this relationship.
Well, I expect to have that conversation with my son in about 20 years where he goes, Dad, good news and bad news. Bad news, I'm gay. Good news, I'm a top.
Power top.
Yeah, I'm the man.
It's cold comfort, but
I mean, being a bossy bottom is just not glamorous. It's just not cool.
Now let me ask you, like, in a higher profile relationship like Ellen in her gay... Now, there's a lesbian.
Portia.
Is whoever's making the most money the top?
Clearly, Ellen is the man. She is very masculine.
Because she's less hot.
Yes, but some lesbians think that Ellen is totally hot. She's the sexiest bitch around.
Well,
you know?
Would it be safe to say the one with the shorter hair? Like,
the shorter hair.
The one who's sporting the good-looking chick in her mid-30s hairdo versus the older dude hairdo that Ellen sports.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It'd be safe to say whoever's got the longer hair
is the bottom in
the lesbian
and
relationship.
Has the shorter hair has the longer genitals. Yes.
Right.
And the stiff pants.
On the other hand, with women, with lesbians, they have a thing called the sisterhood syndrome.
Oh, I don't know this.
Where they stop having sex after a while and become roommates.
Oh, I've totally heard about this. God. Yes. That happens to gay men, too.
Does it really?
I hope to God it doesn't.
How's your guys' marriage doing? You've been married how long?
We've been married for 2 years. June 1st is our anniversary.
We've been together for like six. Thank you, people of the world. Yes, because really, that is like 20 years, I'm telling you, in gay people.
Oh, my God.
It really is.
My wife used to say that. We've married 17 years, and she would say that's 50 years in Hollywood years.
Oh, God, yeah. That's the truth.
Then she split and took all my money. Isn't that funny?
Well, a little bit.
Alex and Lynn, let's get to our last story Bernard Hopkins, boxing champion, Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, same person as Alex and Lynn, by the way. I don't know why.
Oh, very similar.
And very much.
He's going to be on momentarily, so let's get to our last one.
All right. Well, we have plenty. Which one do you want to do?
Will you tell us about Amy Winehouse? Because I never heard that name until a month ago. Now I feel like I hear it all the time.
Oh, my God. Amy Winehouse, I love her. I'm sending out my love for you. She just got married in Miami.
This is her song.
Hey.
This is her and Danny's song.
This is her No Rehab song, right?
Yeah, she's an amazing, incredible, jazzy, sort of 60s-esque singer from Britain. And she just got married over the weekend to her new husband, Blake fill their civil.
Sound it out, two syllables.
Who? Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. She didn't sign a prenup.
He didn't sign a prenup, and it's been rumored he's running around singing, they tried to get me to sign a prenup. I said, no, no, no. So,
and this girl is on the verge of becoming a huge megastar.
Does he have any money? Huge. What does he do?
He lives off her. He's kind of like a Gayle King.
He's a Gayle King.
Is she hot?
She is interesting.
She's like that girl that you slept with.
Yes,
when you were really drunk at that party.
Yeah, she's that heroin chic girl with a missing tooth over here and like
tattoos.
A big bouffant. She's kind of dirty. Spray her down with the fire hose and she'd be cleaning up.
Like dirty in a sexy way. Like,
I love that.
Like stripper dirty.
Sandra Bernhardt, kind of dirty hot.
Yeah,
but
she's Leslie dirty hot.
Yeah, but it's not about being in your face with a shovel.
Sandra Bernhardt? Yes.
Yeah.
I know. She's a god.
She's the ugliest
chicken in the world.
She's up there with Kathy Griffin. She looks like a man, baby. She's a man. I love Kathy. She's a man. Let's get real. She's Andy Dick and drag. I know you haven't heard that before. Let's get real, people.
But we love Kathy. But
yes,
the thing
do.
About Amy is she's that dirty, trampy, you know, that girl that you slept with.
She'd be like who I was if I was a real
she's
girl.
She's that girl that, like, throws you on the bed and then gets on top.
Wow. Alex has thought about it.
A top.
Yeah. A top.
In a heterosexual relationship.
Yes. And she's a total party girl. She loves to, you know, get crazy and rowdy.
Is that song either sampled, derivative, or sheer rip off of a 60s sort of Motowny. I can't think of the name of the song that reminds me of. I'll find it, but it's a full blown rip off.
Yes, I read an article
what
where.
What do we got here? Oh, yeah.
Hey.
I love it.
Sally go around the roses. I'll find that song. All right.
It's just that we don't normally we think we're that clever and almost always right. But when the masses can sing that song along, go, who stole this? You've got to be right.
You know who will know for sure? Bernard Hopkins.
That's right. Yes. No one knows old music and gay gossip like Bernard Hopkins. Lynn and Alex, another wonderful appearance on the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you. We love you guys.
And also,
Paris Hilton, who?
Yes.
Right.
Go to LARagmag.com.
Yes. Or LynnAlexWorld.com and find out more information. Yes. Guys,
and
come
don't
back
forget.
Soon.
I love you guys.
We'll
have Danny over for our photo shoot.
We'll have pictures of Danny on the site soon.
Yes. Be posting and checking.
Vaughn naked with that girl all greased up.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. You don't even know.
Bernard Hopkins. I'm excited. Bernard the Executioner Hopkins. By the way, 47-4 as a professional boxer. And this guy is 41, maybe 42 years of age and still unbeatable in the middleweight division, which is unimaginable.
Unheard of.
Once in a while, there's a heavyweight who cracks 40, bigger, slower, whatever, still has his man strength. In those weight divisions, being that age, I mean, when you get, they're talking about De La Hoya being old at 34.
Right.
This guy is 10 years older than that.
A quick point, and we'll move right along, but I'm fighting these guys coming up. They're not real boxers, they're charity things.
Okay.
But to train, I'm throwing punches at a man holding a mitt in his hand, and he pushes forward when I do it, so it's like hitting something coming at you. And I'm really strong. I just don't hit. All my joints hurt with each punch. I don't know how you could have done that for a living for years.
Yeah.
And your bones just don't shatter.
I'm joint bones.
Lots
you
of
guys
calcium,
are getting
people.
Worked up.
Protein and calcium.
Bernard Hopkins next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Loves it.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Hopkins grabbing De La Hoya with the left and banging hard with the right. De La Hoya with another good left hook to the body.
And he's using his left shoulder.
De La Hoya on the body punch by Hopkins.
He didn't even see the punch.
He doesn't look like he's going to get up,
Hopkins
guys.
Is pushing him in.
First time he's been knocked down in 5.5 years, and he's not going to make it up. It's a Bernard Hopkins knockout of Oscar De La Hoya in the ninth round.
And now, with 47 wins and 32 by knockout, the Executioner, Bernard Hopkins, is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bernard Hopkins also defended his middleweight title 20 times.
Nobody does that.
And the thing about middleweight is everyone's a middleweight.
Yep.
You know, heavyweights, you wonder, where's the talent in the heavyweight competition? Where's the competition talent in the heavyweight division? Well, most guys aren't 6'5", 250 pounds. Thus, they're drawing from a much smaller pool. Most guys are about 170 pounds, and that's the middleweight division.
And the other thing is Bernard Hopkins, I'll be willing to bet if he fights at 176, he walks around 190.
I don't know. Let's ask
him. Let's find out. I'd be interested.
Bernard?
Yes, I'm listening. He's very, very close.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah?
This is something I know a little bit. Interesting enough, because I do these celebrity boxing things. My name's Danny. But Adam Carolla, the host of the show, was a Golden Gloves boxer and a professional boxing trainer and is training me for two upcoming fights I have.
Exactly.
The host of the show really knows his stuff.
Exactly. You have the inside knowledge, so Danny.
Well, not Thank like you, Bernard the Executioner Hopkins
has.
Oh,
I beat his ass.
Who I saw.
He's not in town, is he?
No.
Okay.
I saw a fight at, I believe, the Los Angeles Forum some years ago, either that or the Olympic Auditorium. It comes out with the Executioner's hood on, yeah. Which I like.
Yeah, I fought at the Staples Center with Howard Eastman.
I saw it.
2002 or 2003. That was my 20th defense. It was a very big night for me. I broke Hagler's record, Marvin Hagler, and Carlos Monzon. So that was a big, big achievement in the middleweight division.
Now, did it hurt you at all to beat Marvin Hagler just because he must have been the idol of yours at some point?
Yes, he was. He still is an idol of mine.
Yep.
It's a thing where, so it's my, this is my era, 2000, and I have to set my legacy in this era. But
it's like outselling the Beatles.
Hopefully down the line somebody might break my record 10, 20 years from now, and I'll sit back and be you know, embracing that guy if I'm here on his earth. And, you know, this achievement that I'm very, very happy about.
Well, let me ask you, let's get back to the weight, because you fought in the middleweight division for quite a number of years.
13.
Which meant you were fighting at what, 164?
60.
160.
And it wasn't easy.
And it wasn't easy because you're a guy who's walking around at 190.
Yes, and I'm 6'1".
Right. So
you have to drop 30 pounds for a fight?
Well, I never got the thing is, the discipline that I'm credited for through my boxing history is that I stayed in the gym like a gym rat, and I never let myself get over 10 to 15 pounds overweight because of, if I did, it would be taxing on my body and it would be wear and tear. I'm 42 years old. And I fought at middleweight over 13 years, held the title of a decade. Trust me, it was very, very, very difficult, but I had extreme discipline to do that.
I've got a question for you. I was telling that Mr. Carolla is training me for an upcoming fight, and I'd like your opinion on what you would like me to do. How do I win this fight? It's a charity event, right? And I'm fighting a much more skilled boxer than I, but he's not nearly as tough. So this question is purely for you as an African-American. How do you feel about me fighting Robert Shapiro, O.J. Simpson's lawyer? Should I hurt him or not hurt him?
Well, first I think you should say the objection and then don't show up.
I like that.
I like your attitude. How about you do this? Cyber. If the glove fits your face, you must quit.
I like that.
That's good. A good one. That's
very
good.
Good.
Bernard, I'll say objection and don't show up, man.
Bernard is fighting Winky Wright, and Winky Wright brings some credentials to the table as well. 51-3. So these guys combined are about 100 wins with less than 10 losses. That's
unbelievable.
Pretty good combined record in boxing.
I know we're talking to Bernard Hopkins, but Adam, who looks good in this fight?
Well, Winky Wright is not a... You're both going up. Now, Bernard Hopkins... Now, here, let me just get everyone straightened out here. Antonio Tarver was the guy who beat Roy Jones a few years ago.
And ruined his career, right.
The unbeatable
Roy Jones Jr.
got beat by Antonio Tarver and then later lost a few more fights and went back to Florida to train his fighting chickens. Right. Now, Antonio Tarver also played the heavyweight who fought Stallone in the latest Rocky.
Right.
Movie. So that's Antonio Tarver. Now, our man Bernard Hopkins beat Antonio Tarver to get the light heavyweight division title, which is he usually fought in middleweight. Now he's moved up about 15 pounds to get the light heavyweight division. And Winky Wright normally fights in the middleweight division as well, right?
160.
So you're both moving up in a certain sense, although you've been up.
Exactly.
He has not been up, right?
Right. And he's, we're fighting at a catch weight. I made it where he wouldn't get out of the fight, so I made it at 170. So even I have to come in the middle. He has to come in the middle. And we're fighting for the
right.
ring
here's,
championship.
Here's how the catch weight works. Me and Bonaducci are going to fight. Bonaducci weighs 160 pounds, and I weigh 195 pounds. So I say, Bonaducci, come on up to 195, and we'll fight. And he'll say, no, that's not fair.
I'm 5'6". I won't be able to get across the room to you.
Let's make a catch weight at 180, we'll meet there. I'll get down some, he'll get up some, and it'll be a fair middle ground.
Who has the advantage?
Well,
in real life, I would not fight Carolla. We'll just get that out of the way, because people ask me all the time.
The obviously, the bigger guy fighting lighter, usually, that's why fighters try to stay light. That's why Bernard Hopkins, who walks around at 175, 180, fights at 160. He wants to go down.
But my personal preference as a fighter, at being 5'6", 160, is to fight somebody over 6 foot tall, 160. You can break them up like a bag of glass.
You know who I think the advantage is? Who got the advantage?
The guy with the heart?
The guy is the better fighter. That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
And that's you in this case.
Yeah, but let me explain this in girl world to Teresa. The way I look at it, because I have very few rules for boxing. One is never, and I'm not kidding, people can laugh and think I'm joking, and I've been wrong once or twice, never bet on the white guy. If there's a white guy fighting, just don't bet that way. Honest.
Well, Winky Wright is close to white, but
he's light. He's light. Right. Yeah, I always go darker.
But the other one is, if you look at the records, it's Hopkins got 47 wins with 32 KOs. Wright has 51 wins, but only half by KO. So Hopkins' KO record is way harder. Means he hits harder. Means there's a huge chance of this not going past seven.
Especially in a heavier weight division.
Yeah, there's a big chance of this not going past seven rounds.
And Winky never been knocked out, so it'd be a goal for me to knock Winky out.
But here's
all those fights that he has, he haven't been knocked out once.
That's the whole thing for the fight fans, though.
I know, and it's for me, too, because this would be something. You know, I'm 42 years old, and people are saying, you achieved everything. Why are you still doing it? And it's not just because Winky never been knocked out. I'd be foolish to tell you that. Because I still can do it. I still have my faculties. I still, you know, have the reflexes and things. And when it's time. But right now, I'm going to kick some butt.
All right. Well, right on. Saturday, July 21st. You know, the De La Hoya fight that just took place got a lot of hype.
What do you think about that?
I think De La Hoya, here's what I think. Everyone wants to know what happened to boxing. And boxing, when guys get into the ring, when businessmen climb into the ring and not fighters.
It's not boxing.
It's not boxing anymore. Now, back in the day, Marvin Hagler, who we spoke of earlier, he was fighting for respect.
When he hit Tommy Hearns and Tommy Hearns hit back for death, that was a fight.
That was three rounds, the best rounds in boxing history.
Right. These guys were hungry. They were fighters. They fought for respect, and then the money came. De La Hoya is a businessman.
Right.
If you are a businessman, you need your brain, you need your faculties, you want to go into the ring, you want to make your $40 million, and you want to get out without a broken nose and a cracked orbital socket, if you care that much.
Self-consciously, that's in your mind, so you won't have that little edge of angriness or determination because you're a businessman.
I was trying to liken it to I'm recently going through a divorce, so I'm starting to date, and women want to know why I like to box. And I don't really like to box because I'm not very good at it. I just have a real good heart. But it's something I do, and they want to know, why do you insist on doing it? And it's because there's nothing like the right. That's why I don't like team sports.
It's a stress.
When Hopkins is done, I'll know who won. There'll be no, well, the tight end won,
blame
and the quarterback won, and this guy won.
Right.
It's absolutely Hopkins will have won this fight, and that is that.
Hopkins, can you knock out Winky?
Yes, will knock him out.
You will.
I think every man and every woman should have a heavy bag in their house.
That's right.
I got one in. Are you ready? I have one in my car. I travel with one.
I got one. It's called my wife. That's right. Try to take out a little aggression. Huh?
That was out loud.
I said that out loud?
That was out loud.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I have a leather water bag I got from ringside.
That's better.
You heard it from me first. I would knock Winky right out. I will go look for better and better things, but at 42 is one fight at a time.
Sure.
And, you know, I feel great, and everybody that's listening, he's on HBO pay-per-view or Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, July 21st.
Well, again,
let me come up. What, you want to go and take a road trip, Adam? Go check it out personally.
I would love to be in the executioner's corner.
Yeah, I go.
Bernard Hopkins, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, you're a real hero of mine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a great fight.
Saturday, July 21st. Bernard Hopkins, everybody. And again, see,
Jews used to be prize fighters.
Yeah, when we were immigrants.
Actually really good at it.
When anyone who is a little impoverished and a little hungry gets in the ring.
Sure.
Once you become a dentist, a lawyer, or a doctor, you usually stay out of the ring. Now, a guy like Bernard Hopkins is an anomaly because he's 42. He never loses.
Money.
He's got a ton of money and yet still goes into the ring hungry like he's from the streets. But when you want to know what happened with the De La Hoya fight,
a businessman, he said
a businessman got into the ring. He was a Jew who had 10 degrees and a ton of FU money getting in the ring.
Right.
He is not on the streets anymore. This is why the fighters, it's not about Mexicans are great fighters, blacks are great fighters.
Immigrants.
Mexicans are pretty good fighters.
Irish, Italian, and Jews used to be great fighters.
Right.
Whoever the newest and poorest is will be the best fighters.
I lost my train of thought when I was saying that to the girls I'm starting to date or ask me why I do it. I lost my train of thought and just kind of made up the end of the answer. Which I hate. I hate when I do that.
Me too.
But the fact of the matter is, it's because real boxers are like rappers. They're just tired of their brother getting shot in a drive-by. These are not kids. That's the way out of the way of life they were born into. And there have been a couple of guys that went on to be dentists and doctors, and they got a little career and notoriety for being white and being doctors. But when it comes down to it, this is their way out of getting shot at crack dealers on every corner to be a rapper or a boxer or the baddest man on the planet. And it's a way of life to get you out and get your children a better life. When you lose that, you lose it all.
When we spoke to Lynn and Alex 10 minutes ago, our gay gossip couple, they played that new song.
No Rehab, Amy Winehouse.
Send it.
Baby go to rehab.
Yeah, everyone loves the song. And I said it very derivative of a song, and it reminded me of a song. Well, we have that song next.
Oh.
We'll take a break, and then we'll compare and contrast the two in a little heads-up challenge next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Danny's single again, and Adam Carolla is throwing in the bachelor party he never had.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and food.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood. It's the Danny Bonaducci Bachelor Party.
Dynamite!
We'll have strippers.
I want women.
Booze.
Great.
A lot more strippers.
I want some. How much?
And probably a lot more booze, too.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Starts at 7 and ends whenever the cops show up.
The cops!
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
That would be out of sight, dude.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as we've spoken about on the show many times, I have something called hypervigilance.
Yes, you do.
It's a disturbance. It's a problem with my brain. I don't read. I'm a horrible student. Really bad at most things I apply myself to that have to do with a book or manual or anything like that.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've stopped describing you as a genius, which I used to do to everyone. I used to say, no, he's really the genius that billboard says he is. And now I kind of go in the most complimentary way. I say savant.
There you go. Because it's like a retarded guy who can count.
I don't mean it in a bad way, but I do mean it in the not full-blown genius. He knows everything there is to know. I think you just never forget anything you hear ever.
If I read it, I don't remember
it. That's what I think.
And if it's a song, it just reminds me. If I hear something that sounds familiar, there's a little part in my brain that lights up, and I go, I've heard that. I know that. Where's that from? And I'm usually right, although it's not black and white, because when a song is derivative of another song, well, it's not a remake, it's just derivative. Right. Now, that Amy Winehouse song we were speaking of that's sweeping the nation. So this is a white chick.
Yeah. Yes, I've been she's a little bit goth looking. When I come back,
sounds like about half the songs from the early 60s by any band that ended with Etz.
Yeah, the Ronettes.
Right. It's a song by the Janettes. So anyway, it reminded me of a song called Sally Go Round the Roses. And I don't even know how I know Sally Go Round the Roses. As a matter of fact, when our writer Mike went down the hall to K-Earth, to the oldies station, to talk to some of the corpses over there to try to get the music.
How do you revive them?
The lead corpse, after he hit him with the paddles, said, I'm old, not even know that song. I mean, how old is Adam anyway? And I guess older than dirt, because this song was from 1 year before I was born.
You know what? I hate that. People go, well, that's before your time. And I always say the same thing. Yeah, well, so is Napoleon, but I've heard of him.
That's right.
I hate
complex.
That.
He's done more than hear of him.
Yeah, 19... I lived his life.
63, the Jeanettes. Let's see if this sounds like it at all.
That already does.
They all sounded like this song in 1960, whatever.
I hear what you're hearing, I think.
Don't appease me, T, if you disagree.
You know who's often described as having hypervigilance is Joe Montana. Have you heard that?
Well, you should have. You know, that hot of a quarterback. You better know what's going on.
The famous story about him is that after he threw a touchdown pass, somebody asked him about the play, and he said John Candy was in the stands eating popcorn. Have you heard this?
Yeah, you know what it is? Not to liken myself to the great Joe Montana. Yeah, see, it's the same vibe.
I can hear it. And also, I'm kissing up, too, at the same time.
Joe Montana could pay attention to more than one thing at a time.
Here's what it is. They, I'll give you a story. I'll give you a Montana-esque story, and I'll tell you what you're talking about. They say that good quarterbacks can feel the pressure in the pocket. They drop back, and the guy's, Joe Montana's, right-handed. So when he drops back and gets in a position to throw a football, he can't see what's coming from his left side.
Right.
There's a 290-pound end that's looping around and trying to blindside him, trying to kill him.
Right.
Magically, he releases the ball just before that. He feels him coming. They always say that. The good guys can feel the pressure coming. Now, the bad guys, they're holding the ball up, and they get clobbered, and the ball goes flying into somebody's hands, and they score a touchdown for the defense. They always say that the good guys can feel it, and the hypervigilance is feeling people coming at you or feeling pressure.
Right.
That's probably, and also being aware of what's going on in front of them as far as throwing to the guys, but feeling the pressure, and you'll see it time and time again with the great ones. Like, he released that ball a split second before the weak side defensive end clobbered him. How to even see him? His back was to the guy. I only had this happen once that I could remember. I was playing broom ball. Broom ball is a game where you take a broom and you tape it with duct tape and you swat around a volleyball on ice. And you run around in tennis shoes on ice on a skating rink at midnight drunk and beat the crap out of other guys that
always
are chasing the ball around with the broom, too.
I don't know how I got involved with this game. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I must have been about 19, but there was a big scary guy on the other team, and I'd scored a goal on him and sort of humiliated him, and there was a little trash talking going down, and this guy wanted revenge. And at a certain point, the ball went into the corner. I went to go get it out with my broom, just the same as you play hockey. And my back was to the rink. This guy had gotten a full head of steam. He'd ran all the way across the rink, and at about 20 feet from me, dropped down onto both knees in sort of a hook slide and was going to blindside me. He was just going to take me out. Right. It was a crazy chicken-ass move because I wasn't wearing a helmet or anything. Like my head would have slammed against the ice and whatever. My back was just to the guy. And he didn't yell, "Here I come, sucker." He didn't make any noise. He didn't do anything. And I wasn't peeking through my legs. I was trying to fish the ball out of the corner. And it, with a millisecond before the guy hit me, I just jumped straight up into the air and he went slamming into the boards and the place went nuts. And I never turned my head never visually saw the guy coming or even heard him. I felt the guy was on me, and I jumped up at the last second.
It's like one of those kung fu movies. Somebody throws the dagger at you, and you catch it while you're still talking to the other guy.
Yeah. That's what hypervigilance is.
It has an upside and a downside.
And by the way,
downside is you can't sleep without getting drunk and putting a ski mask over your head and filling your ears with cotton.
And right. The other side with Joe Montana is that what are the odds that Madden wasn't eating in the stands?
John Candy. But either way.
Candy.
He didn't really have to see it.
Well, as I was thinking last night, you know, I never even thought, there's these things you think, oh man, I just thought of this, and then you think, oh, everyone must have thought of that. The idea that a huge, big, fat guy's last name was Candy, and then later on, yesterday I was talking to someone about Bob Barker's love of dogs, and I thought, well, for Christ's sake, his last name is Barker. He speaks their language.
Well, that used to be a thing. Your last name was taken from your occupation. Ted Baker was almost always a baker.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there was a time when that was
Danny Royd Rage guy.
There's a therapist in the building where I go to my therapist, and I always see the plaque on his door, Dr. Bitter.
If we're going to play this game, yeah. My wife had a gynecologist in Michigan named Dr. Goo.
Nice.
Honest to God, swear I wouldn't make something.
You got an appointment with Dr. Cuckoo in about an hour and a half.
I go to Goo and then Cuckoo.
There are more. We need to take ourselves a break. Oh, fun. Here's the thing. We got some tickets to see legendary rock band Rush. We decided to have our Nicaraguan friend, the great Oswaldo, sing some Rush songs. If you can figure them out, you're going to get some Rush tickets. We've played this before with other bands. 866-901-ADAM. You want Rush tickets, you call. We'll give them away next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. Right now, it's your chance to win tickets to see Rush. All you have to do is figure out what the hell Ozzy is singing.
Wing in my hair.
It's Nicaraguan Name That Tune on the Adam Carolla Show.
This may be hard.
Really, maybe?
Well, you know, it's one of these things where Rush, legendary rock band, I think I probably know 4 Rush songs. On the other hand, I probably know 11 Rush songs, and I just can't think of them. Right. But I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it when Ozzy does it. Well, Rush, we have 4 pair of tickets to give away. If you get the song, you'll get the pair. If not, we'll roll it over and go to the next guy. They're going to be playing July 23rd and July 25th out here at the Hollywood Bowl in the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Let's just start. Oh, we have an intro?
This is Waldo, Rush Game. You can win tickets to see Rush, the greatest power trio ever.
Smacked piece of equipment here. All right, there you go. John.
Hey.
You want to play the Rush game?
I want to play the Rush game.
All right, let's see if you can decipher this first Rush song.
And the man who holds his place will be the one with star.
I know it.
Oh, this is bad. Adam, I got to gracefully bow out. I have no idea what
I'm saying. All right. Well, it takes a big, big man to admit when Ozzy can't speak an effing word of English, as I've said many times. It was tough, and I'm looking at the title, but I'll tell you, it makes sense if you know Rush. Let's see. Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff?
Yes.
Should we play it again for you?
Go ahead, but I think I got it.
All right.
The man who holds his place, movie the one we star.
That sounds like Close to the Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Nice job.
Yeah, baby.
Are you a big Rush fan?
I'm a pretty big Rush fan. Yeah, older Rush, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Must be the ones who start.
I'm not proud of myself, but I think I kind of like Rush.
Yeah, they're good, man. They rock.
I would go see Rush.
Yeah.
See if I can win the next one. All right, Jeff. We'll see you. When I say we'll see you, I mean the little people. I'll either not be there or up in the luxury boxes doing a mountain of blow.
All right, I'll look for you.
But they'll see you in July.
Okay.
At the Rush concert. Good times there, brother.
Excellent. Thanks.
Good luck, man.
All right, let's try another one. Well, that was pretty good. Tommy?
Yeah.
You ready to go?
Let's do it.
I wish you I pack what clear. I wish you free will.
Gosh, not clear enough. On a cell phone, so it's really hard.
All right.
We get another one of them.
Well, play.
I wish you I pack what clear. I wish you free will.
Stumped, that's another band.
I'm going to guess you're not a big Rush fan because the title was right in there.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
All right, Tommy. But look, this is Darwinism at its best, because how big a Rush fan can you be if you can't recognize a Rush song? Let's go to Mike. Mike?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Do you know this, or shall we play it again?
I wish you I pack what clear. I wish you free will.
Free will, baby.
Yeah.
Nice. Right on.
All right.
Nice job.
Nice job there, Mike. I believe we have that somewhere. Thank God Ozzy's a huge Rush head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He thinks it well.
Yeah. They're massive in Nicaragua. All right, Mike. You just won yourself a couple of tickets to see Rush, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
All right. Hang on
Thank
the
you,
line.
Sir.
Let's see. Rancho Cucamonga. Speak to Garrett. Garrett?
Yeah.
You ready to go, my brother?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We are the priests of the temple of Searing.
What the hell?
I know that one. Yeah.
I got that one.
You know that one?
Yeah, it's the only one I've known.
I'm looking at the name of the song. I don't know that song.
Can you do it one more time for me, please?
All right.
We are the priests of the temple of Searing.
You guys know that one, huh?
It's familiar, yeah. I don't know if I know this title.
It's familiar, I got it.
Where's my thing?
Where's your thing?
What, do you think if you show it to us, we'll give you tickets?
Thanks.
I am this close to raping you!
Where is your thing?
Actually, I'm driving, so... Mm.
Garrett? Keep driving, brother. And do not drive toward the Verizon Wireless Theater or wherever the hell else they're playing.
Yeah, because
they're
not going.
You're not going. No. All right. I'm looking at the name of the song. I don't know the name of the song.
I'm pretty sure I know the name of the song. I definitely know the song. I'm pretty sure I know the name of the song.
All right. Let's try. Let's see. Who haven't we talked to? AJ? AJ?
Hey, how you guys doing?
You ready to play little Ozzy Sings the Rush?
Let's try it.
We are the priests of the temple of Searing.
Now, would that be 2112?
Yeah.
Very nice. That's what I had.
Oh. What happened to the one I was staring at? We are the priests of the temple of Searing. I'm going to guess that was some of their earlier work.
Yeah.
It works a bit of a stretch.
My brother had that album, and I could not figure out what he was talking about.
Yeah, but you knew that song. All right, so we skipped down one.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what we did?
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up, Baldy.
Jesus Christ, I was looking at the wrong song the whole time. All right, let's... Now, wait a minute, did Mike win?
Yes.
Who was I just talking to? Or AJ win?
Yeah,
AJ?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're a winner, brother.
Thank you very much.
Not in life, but in radio.
Hey, I appreciate your guys' show. Thanks.
Thanks, brother. Aww. All right, we have one more pair to give away. Let's hop down to one I recognize. One, two, three, four, five. Let's go to number five, shall we? All right, let's talk to Brad.
A lot of Rush fans in Sacramento.
Brad?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
I'm just
scathing indictment of Sacramento, by the way. Brad?
I've run into a lot of Sacramento lately.
What's going on, my brother?
I'm just trying to win some Rush tickets, that's all.
All right. What are you doing right now?
I'm sitting in the parking lot trying to not go to work as much as I can.
Mm. And what do you do?
I'm a construction worker.
Construction worker?
Yes, sir.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Construction starts at 7 a.m., brother.
This is great.
Oh, yeah. I know.
All right. What do you do in construction?
Well, I build communication towers.
Mm. Wow. Scary work. Are you actually climbing the towers?
Yeah. A lot of times I am.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky. I mean, working on high-rise, at least there's a railing. You guys are just up and flapping in the wind, right?
Yeah, pretty much just dangling like a pair of boxer shorts or whatever.
All right, but the pay is good because it's dangerous, right?
It could be better.
Okay, buddy. Aww. Well, look, I'm going to bring a little sunshine. I'm going to bring a little sunshine in your life, into your life. His name is Ozzy. The band's called Rush.
You're the best. Around, nothing gonna ever keeping you down. You the best.
All right.
Around,
the guy's gonna kill
nothing
himself
gonna ever
anyway.
Keeping you down.
Well, let's not throw him a curveball. Sorry, Brad. Here we go. Oh. Play real
what you
one.
Say about the companies? What you say about the sorcery?
What you say about the companies? What you say about sorcery?
One more time.
What you say about the companies? What you say about the sorcery?
Wow. I would think their most recognizable song.
Yeah.
Limelight.
What's that?
Limelight.
No. Sorry, brother.
Oh, I feel Mama so bad for
day, sir.
You too. Let's talk to...
I can't let
can
him
we
go?
Talk to David from... let's talk to Steve from Vegas. Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
You want those Rush tickets?
Oh, I want them bad.
Here we go.
What you say about the companies? What you say about the sorcery?
It's not sorcery, it's society, and that's Tom Sawyer.
Right, right. You are, Steve.
The most famous song.
Right on. That's a good song.
Tough, though. I mean, Rush in the karaoke... difficulty department, it's a 9.7. Yeah. All right, Steve.
You're the best around. Nothing gonna ever keeping you down.
Nothing's gonna keep you down, Steve.
Hey, Adam, there's the best birthday present I've ever had.
Well, thank you.
That's happy cool. birthday.
Actually, it's the day of the concert, actually. It's my birthday.
Oh, July 23rd or 25th?
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Let's. Which day is your birthday?
My birthday is, ironically, it's the 24th. It's right in the middle.
Oh, damn.
Now you got
it. Oh, sweet Irish.
Because if you told me it was the 23rd, I was going to give you tickets to the 25th just to F with you. But right in the middle, I have no move. Yeah. Checkmate. Yeah. Well played.
Well played, sir.
All right.
I appreciate that, Adam.
All right, Steve, we need to take a break. I think we have an outro.
This is one ball. Rush game. The greatest power trio ever.
What song is Red Barchetta? I don't know that song, do I?
Oh,
I do know this song. We got the Trees. What song is the Trees? I'm going to play Ozzy's The Trees. Let's see if we can figure that one out.
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight, and the oaks ignore their pleas.
Dawson, how many trees did you smoke before you thought that would be a good idea?
There is unrest.
Nobody. The guys in Rush don't know that song.
That is obscure.
Jack knows that. The Jack only knows that song. He knows because he did coke off that Rush record come when he was with his AM DJ in the 80s in Philadelphia. That's the only reason he knows it.
There is a trouble with the trees. For the maple, one more sunlight, and the oak ignores freeze.
There's no way they're doing. They're not doing that in concert, no. Dawson. No.
Maybe
no.
Last time.
Oh, no, you thought
last time was 1986.
You're pretty sure they did it in concert last time.
I'm positive.
I know you're positive, but right. Do you think it's true?
Well, the song called The Trees, but the fans know it as its affectionate title, Beer Run.
If Dawson hadn't smoked that set list, we could refer to it.
All right.
Nice.
We need to take a break. Tea the news.
Yes, important news about Viagra. And Heather Mills and Paul McCartney may have reached divorced terms.
Oh, it's going to be great to hear those numbers. We'll hear that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6 on G4. Definitely don't watch the World Series of Video Games. Contestants compete in a Counter-Strike 1.6 competition. At 8 on Oxygen, be sure to miss Tyra Banks. Tyra discusses cyber sex and its impact on relationships with Dr. Drew Pinsky. And at 9 on Discovery Health, don't watch 14 Children and Pregnant Again. An Arkansas couple with 9 boys and 5 girls go through another pregnancy. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I was sitting in my Mexican barber shop yesterday. I know it sounds like a euphemism for TSV, but this was an actual Mexican barber shop.
It's where you get some trim in both cases.
I go there. That's right. It's $11 for a haircut. You drop them 20. They look at you as Daddy Warbucks, and you're in out of there in 10 minutes. And I get a bad haircut, but my hair grows quickly, so what do I care? I was reading, but they only have chick magazines.
Right.
And I was reading, Self magazine from about a year ago, and there was Tyra Banks standing there in a bikini, giving the young ladies tips on how to feel good about their body. Although she's looking pretty spectacular with them D-cups in her bikini. But if you don't look good in your bikini, and why we have to have a big picture of a hot chick who looks great in her bikini giving you tips on how you should feel good about how you look when you don't look good in a bikini, probably makes it worse.
Yeah.
Probably be nice to look at someone who looked worse than you in a bikini.
Do you remember any of the tips?
One is stand in the mirror. And instead of focusing on the parts you don't like your big, fat, dimpled ass, focus on the parts that are nice, like your hands. Sure, you'll do that as a young lady. You'll stand there and say, you know what? I have fantastic elbows. I have an ass the size of a Winnebago. I have asymmetry in my breast. One's down on my knee. The other one's in my eye. But look at those elbows. Yeah, I'm going to land myself a prince.
Thanks, Tyra.
Thanks, Tyra. You brought everything into focus.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Is that what she's doing today? Is telling you how to live your life if you're not perfect?
How to feel good about yourself if you're not as pretty as she is?
Standing around in a bikini telling people how to feel good about their bodies.
Kiss my fat ass.
Yo, your fat ass is a supermodel worth billions. I'm short and white, and what are you going to do for me? I don't even have good elbows.
Today is a panty party.
Every day's a panty party.
Look at your hands. Yes. Look at these hands. Yeah. Just got those some pretty hands.
Ugly.
They are carved to ribbons.
They're manly.
I don't have a pretty part on me.
T?
Yes.
I'll tell you what's pretty on you, baby. Your mouth. Oh, you got a pretty mouth.
You have a pretty
real
mouth.
Pretty mouth.
How about you start flapping them pretty gums and make with the news?
Yeah. Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Your mouth looks like a silk purse. I like to keep my roll of nickels in there.
Thank you. I think.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
When them words come out,
right?
It's like the silky purse just belched a siren song.
Speaking
it
of
is wonderful.
Speaking
okay,
of deliverance,
let's just proceed as if this is going really
I'm
well.
I'm
going
to deliver some news.
Mm. Here we go.
In Argentina, scientists studied Viagra, and it turns out it cures jet lag. Mm-hmm. Yes, as if Viagra couldn't be magical enough for men, it now cures jet lag. What they did is they took some hamsters and they messed with them by switching their cage lights on 6 hours early for a few weeks, and they screwed up their body clocks. Mm-hmm. Then they fed them just a little bit of Viagra, and of course had a control group with no Viagra. Those hamsters who took Viagra adjusted 50% more quickly than the others.
These guys have to be the envy of the experimental hamster world. You know, once in a while you hear about they've done tests on mice. It turns out when given copious amounts of pure cocaine, and I think to myself, there has to be a cage of mice next to theirs that is getting a radioactive isotope put up their ass to see how long they'll live before their body rots out from the inside out. And then they're the mice ones that get to test coke and booze and Viagra.
Plus, don't forget about the guy that gets to dole out the blow to the mice.
One for what, you.
What is a copious amount to a mouse might not be considered copious to moi.
Right. That is true.
Little bump well, for Dr. Feelgood.
If you're taking an airplane trip, they have not done the study on humans, but they're saying just a little bit of Viagra. You don't have to take enough to do what Viagra normally does. You can just take a little bit, and that could speed up your internal body clock, which could in turn cure you of jet lag.
Yeah. Like, by the way, this whole jet lag thing everyone's been talking about since someone invented the jet engine, is it that big a deal?
I don't think I've had it maybe twice.
Show up to wherever you're going and get over it.
And go to bed when it's dark and wake up when it's light.
Whatever. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. By the way, have you ever taken Viagra?
No.
I have taken Viagra exactly one time by myself. A friend of mine had Viagra. He said, do you want one? And I said, sure. And I was just sitting in my house, and I had a pill, and that is my nature. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just, okay, let's see what this stuff does. Hmm. And I guess if you're not incapable of getting an erection, if you know, things are normally functioning, my whole face flushed, my eyes burnt, I hated it. And it doesn't do anything. It's not a desire pill.
Right. It just cures erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, so for me, too, like, if you desired a woman and had to take a pill to get an erection, that'd be great. But if you don't, and there was no woman around anyway, I just had a blue pill, and that seemed like a normal thing to do would be take it. It just made my eyes burn. It felt like I was allergic to something. It wasn't fun at all.
Yeah.
Bad review of Viagra. You rarely hear that.
Well, you should probably have a chick with you.
Right. Yeah. That would help.
Well, you want to get a worse review, talk to us German Shepherd.
Here is another penis story. This one about Mick Jagger.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch!
Mick Jagger. Is often known, you know, people talk about his bee-stung lips.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new story out about him from Julian Temple, who was with the Rolling Stones directing their Undercover of the Night video. Mm-hmm. And Mick, according to this guy, used to use bee stings to swell himself up down there.
I've heard that.
According to this director, it involved putting bamboo over the male member and filling it with stinger bees so the member attained the size of the bamboo. He says, quote, Mick spent months in the jungle in Peru. He was going mad out there, I think.
Now, how does that work with you and the bamboo again?
You put the, this is what he says, you put the bamboo over the male member, according to this guy Temple, and you fill it with stinger bees, and you wait for your penis to get stung by the bees so it swells.
But let me ask you this. When you get stung by a bee in the cheek, it's not like your whole head gets the size of Macy's Day Parade. You get what looks like a big zit on your cheek, right? You get a big...
What you get is
your penis would be filled with what looked like a... We'd look like a venereal disease,
yeah.
Right?
What you get, I would think, is the essential thing. Your same wiener that is now ribbed for her pleasure, like it says on the package.
Right, yeah. Maybe if you had 10 stings, it would be more uniformly swollen, but still probably look diseased.
By the way, you gotta use bamboo?
They were in the jungle.
Yeah, what are you gonna use?
This sounds like BS to me.
You know what's swollen? The divorce settlement between Heather Mills and Paul McCartney.
That's why I love your silk talking back.
Yep.
According to TMZ.com, which is an entertainment website, it seems as though they may have reached an agreement. Wow, it's a lot of money. Wow.
Really?
Wow.
More than I thought?
This is going to make you feel better. According to TMZ.com, Paul will be forking over $200 million.
Oh,
Paul McCartney is worth about $1.5 billion.
I don't care. I want her dead.
I know, and everyone does that thing where it's like, hey, he can afford it. Hey, that's not even him.
No,
can't. Under whatever law. Like, he met her when she was an adult.
Yeah.
Right?
With a job.
She didn't support him while he was practicing with Ringo in the garage.
Him? She has one bag. She can't even support him.
Can't support herself.
Well, the British tabloids are saying that one of the conditions or the stipulations of this settlement is that Heather can no longer attempt to become a star in America because Paul doesn't want her to move here with her daughter Beatrice, thus taking her away.
Right.
Well, then she's going to have to make that $200 million last. Yeah. I mean, without working here in America, she's going to have to, you know, start bringing a sack lunch into work and really eating top ramen.
That can really, in a way, now a $200, $200 million, though, but that can deprive a person. I know Gretchen and I were talking about, I was going to give her 100% custody because she's a great girl and I screwed up by being a drunk.
Right.
So I was going to say, whatever you want, it's yours. You don't even need a lawyer, whatever you want. And then she hired a lawyer without thinking. She just said, oh, I thought you had to have one. And I said, okay, well, you can have custody. But then I had a lawyer, and he said, no, keep at least 20%. She could marry a guy that hates you and leave the state because you'll give away all your rights. So I'm keeping 20% custody of my children.
Oh, I hadn't thought
of
that.
I can see them whenever I want.
Right.
Just because if she marries some cat that hates me, they could move to Guam.
That's smart.
And there's lines of people who hate me. She could marry almost anyone I know. And then let's move to Guam just to
get So you're fighting to keep 20% custody.
Yeah. I'm not fighting at all. She said fine.
That's, oh, and you've agreed.
That's 9 toes, a liver, spleen, and one nostril.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's Saturday.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Saturday.
Well, good news. Yeah, 20% is once a week, right?
No, once a week. 1 weekend a month is 20% of 80. She gets 80%. She has a lot more money, and I still get to see my kids whenever I want.
Right, but if you saw your kid once out of every 5 days, that would be 20%, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. We could see your kid a day and a half a week, basically.
Well, I expect to see him every freaking day until she shows up at my house with some guy, and then he gets his ass beat and I get arrested.
Day and 9 hours out of the week. Jorge Garcia. You may call him George Garcia. I call him Jorge Garcia from Lost. I think he does go by Jorge.
Yeah.
He's the big... The Big Brother from Lost, the season finale is coming up, and so is he, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser from Lost.
Dude. Hey, dude, stop moping. Come on.
When people stare out at the ocean, get all quiet-like, they're moping.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself because someone said you're going to die. I got an idea that's going to help us both.
It is dangerous. And there's a very good chance that you will die.
Jorge Garcia is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jorge.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good to speak to you. Sad. I don't look at 9:25 as the morning anymore.
No.
I know.
When you get up at 4:30, it is dusk. At 4:25, it's now the sort of mid to late afternoon for me. We're heading into the twilight hour, 11:30.
We're about to have dinner.
We're heading into the twilight hour of my life.
Jorge.
That was always depressing on, like, all night shoots when you start seeing the sun break. You're like, oh, man, we didn't make it.
What island do you guys shoot on?
We shoot on Oahu.
Oahu. And what is the schedule for Lost? By the way, Jorge Garcia Hurley from Lost, if you hadn't figured it out already. What is your schedule? Do you live in Hawaii full time?
Yeah, Hawaii is pretty much home base for me now because the show usually demands over there about 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm. So you go to Paradise 9 months out of the year and do Lost, and then for the 3 months you head back to L.A.?
No, I pretty much stay in Hawaii when I can. Like an ABC, just fly me to L.A. for some. Then I'll go to L.A. and be put up in a hotel. But home base is Hawaii right now.
Aren't you glad, by the way, Lost wasn't about a bus that broke down in Riverside?
Well, that would have sucked, Adam. That's the worst case scenario I think I've ever heard.
You'd have to move there and live at a truck stop.
You just got effed instead of Lost.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he wouldn't last 3 years so far.
Right.
Now, there's something that you said about you stay in paradise for these many years. There are parts of Hawaii that are not, in fact, paradise, aren't there?
Oh, sure.
There's, like, really bad neighborhoods.
Yeah, there are some areas that are a little rough, but there's a lot of areas that are very nice, too.
And what the hell would Dog the Bounty Hunter do if it was all good?
Right.
Right, exactly.
And Jorge, you're on Kimmel tonight. I just got this note handed to me.
Right.
he's a big fan of the show, and it seems like I've seen you on there many times. I know Jorge's work originally from the Jack in the Box commercial from about 5 years ago, but no one else seems to remember that.
I remember it.
He played Jack in the Box, or a guy who was impersonating Jack.
Right. Just because I had my own homemade Jack hat on.
You guys do not remember that, Jack? I seem to
he's
watch.
He's like, I'm Jack. I got the hat.
That's right. I had the hat on, and he was signing a check for an employee.
Now, Jorge, when you booked that commercial, was that sort of your money for the year?
Although Jack plays a lot, in L.A., it doesn't quite pay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was like all done by, they bought separate markets.
Uh-huh.
So I was still working at Borders at the time to supplement the income and earn the health insurance and
is
stuff.
Is Borders one of those?
Yeah,
books, that's the place where they sell the books?
They sell the books. You know the other place they rent
them. What's the place where they lend you the book?
That's a library.
Library.
Barry. Not library. Library.
Library. All right. Well, Jorge, are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm right here.
The season finale is tomorrow night, ABC, third season finale.
Right.
Can you give us any clues, any tips? Are they gonna wrap some stuff up, or are they going to leave us hanging?
They're going to do a little both. The big reveal at the end is pretty mind-blowing on the level of, like, when you found out that Locke had been in a wheelchair before the plane crash and stuff like that.
Speaking of Locke, is he alive or dead?
I can't venture to say, but you'll know tomorrow.
He's in a pit, and he's been shot.
Yeah, but
that's
lost.
Word on the street, but we don't know if he's alive or not. And trying to think, is your life as good as we think it is? I know that sounds like a loaded question, but I mean, you're working at Borders, you're doing a Jack in the Box commercial, now you're living in paradise, everyone knows you, you're making tons of money. Is it that different? Or do you pinch yourself every morning, or have you just gotten used to it and you're jaded?
No, I'm not jaded. I mean, not yet, at least, knock wood. So far, it's pretty good. I think this show is the jackpot of shows, and the fact that we get to do it outside of, like, L.A. and the whole hustle over here is really nice.
Right. Well, Jorge, we'll be not only watching tomorrow night, but we'll be watching tonight you're on Kimmel.
Cool. Right on.
Good times. Jorge Garcia, Lost, everybody. Tomorrow night, ABC, 9 o'clock, big finale.
But only because I heard an interview and they said finale, but they never said season finale. And I kept thinking they were canceling the show.
No.
It was a really bad interview. Yeah.
They're hugely successful.
I know it is. I thought it was one of those guys where the producer flipped out and said, I've had enough of this. I'm not doing it anymore. It's not creative. It was a really bad interview and they just kept saying finale.
They are sort of committed to go through till 2010 and wrap it up because, you know, there are these stories or there are these shows you get into. I think Frosty, Heidi, and Frank were talking about Jericho. Maybe it was another program. You get involved with it and then they pull the plug.
Right.
So you never have any wrap.
No resolution
because they pulled the plug before they got to who it was or why it was or where it was.
That's fairly new, though. The goodbye episode of Frasier, the finale episode of Friends, the finale episode of Seinfeld. Nobody ever did that before.
Yeah.
There was no goodbye Partridge Family. I pulled up to go to work and they said, you've been fired.
I know.
That was it. Nobody got to say goodbye and do a very special blossom.
I felt raped when they did that with Speed Racer.
Yeah.
I didn't get to say goodbye to Spritel or Chim Chim or Pops or Trixie or Racer X or Inspector Detector.
Now you're scaring me.
I could have gone on for another 20 minutes.
That was it. I only had Spritel because you'd already said Spa.
Ace Ducey or Snake Oiler. I couldn't say goodbye to any of my favorite Speed Racer characters. All right, we need to take ourselves. I think my mom told me I couldn't watch Speed Racer when I was a kid because it was too violent. And then I was like, all right, well, you're going to have to buy a board game and play it with me. And she was like, why don't you just go ahead and watch Speed Racer? And I was like, fine. Take a quick break. When we come back, I saw a story on CNN that made me think about one of my favorite topics. And my second favorite topic. Okay. Actually, third. Bonaducci's top two. And then my third favorite topic. We'll play you that news story, and I'll tell you why it's my favorite next.
Hi, this is David Koechner. If you'd like to join in the conversation, call 866-901-ADAM. Speak to Adam and the douche.
I just call Spontanucci the douche.
I like that. Because I had a nickname was Debo.
Yeah.
When, Debo, right.
When Jennifer Lopez changed her name to J-Lo, we're right. all kidding around, and somebody came out, somebody and I came out, Debo, which actually stuck with my son. We call Dante Debo.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Nice. I never, like Ace or something like that, or Speed or Fast Eddie, none of that ever stuck with me.
Well, Eddie's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah, your name's not Eddie. Might make sense.
But you know what I mean? You know, I never had one of those cool nicknames.
Yeah.
Oh, Crank, yeah.
Sniffles.
they call me Crank.
All right. Well, as you guys know, I'm obsessed with motivating people. Not myself, of course, but others around me.
And as long as they don't catch up to you.
That's right. Right. And as a society, how do we motivate people? You know, we don't want illegals to come in this country. How do we motivate them not to come in here? We want people to go to work. How do we motivate? We want people to drive cars and get better mileage. How do we motivate? Well, you make gas $5 a gallon, and that's how you motivate right. people. That's all we should be thinking about as a government. Stop begging people to do the right thing. They don't listen. Their wallets have ears. Ears don't work when you just say, hey, buddy, do me a favor. Do your government. Do the right thing and do this. No, you say do the right thing and recycle. You get a little recycling. You say we'll give you 10 cents a bottle. You got recycling.
Right. I was going to write an article once called Getting Rich Through Laziness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too lazy to mow my own lawn, so I had to earn more money so I could hire a gardener. And you know, so I was too lazy to do the dishes, so I had to make more money so I could hire a lady to do the dishes. And that was the whole premise. Was that I was so lazy, I had to work myself into being wealthy enough to pay these people.
Yeah, that's my point. Most
yeah.
rich people are good at one thing, which is whatever gets them rich, and then pay everyone else. They're not jacks of all trades. I was watching CNN this morning at about 5 a.m., feeling very vulnerable with my dog, Molly, trying to leech some food off of my plate. Puts her little chin on my thigh and gives me those eyes.
Did you give her anything?
Yeah.
A little something.
Fat lip.
Oh, I was going to say, you create an incentive for a dog. That's how you train a dog. You give it treats.
Right. You carry around them little jerky snaps, and right. the dog all of a sudden is sitting and rolling over. My dog goes from essentially an ottoman to Rin Tin Tin in the command department. When you're not holding any jerky treats, you're like, Molly, lay down. Oh. She's like, look, I don't have an opposable thumb, but I can still give you the finger pops. When I'm holding the jerky treat, the dog's a genius. Like, down, rolling over.
Do surgery.
Knit me a shawl.
Yeah.
Boom. Pow. Done.
We're no different. Boom, we need incentives.
Your dog is Batman and Robin?
Yes.
Boom, pow, shawl.
So I was watching CNN at 5 a.m. this morning, and I saw this story out of San Francisco.
Good news for Bay Area residents in California. The MacArthur Maze getting set to reopen this week. It'll be just in time for the Memorial Day weekend. Last month, a gasoline tanker truck explosion destroyed that ramp. It connects Oakland and San Francisco. In fact, the heat was so intense, it actually caused the steel frame of the freeway to melt. Contractors are going to be getting a $5 million bonus for being able to finish that job a month ahead of schedule. Remember, they were worried because they said that the steel had to be custom.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even procured yet, but they knew that they had to get that back up and running as quickly as possible because of all those commuters.
Yeah, no, they knew they had to get the $5 million.
Damn right.
They didn't know anything. Has there ever been a case in history where the contractor said, I'll remodel your kitchen, it should take 6 to 8 weeks, and it took 5 weeks?
Yeah.
No, it takes 5 months. That's the way life works.
$8,000. Whoops. Oh, I meant 10.
Right.
Yeah.
You wave some money in front of them. Believe me, it gets done faster. It made me think about the 94 quake we had out here in January, where the 10 freeway, which slices right through the heart of the city, was damaged horribly from the shaking. And they thought, well, this is going to take 5 months to complete, but we'll give the contractor $200,000 for every day they finish before that 5 months. Well, they finished in 2 months.
Right. Absolutely right. Every
Why?
Time.
Because we gave them $15 million in bonuses, and instead of working 7-hour days with an hour and 45-minute lunches, they worked around the clock, and they finished a job. That's the way life works.
You should be able to fine them.
What's that?
You should be able to fine them.
Yeah.
If they don't.
Well, the punishment part works, too. I'm just saying, whether it's trying to get your kids, your dogs, or your society to do the right thing, give them incentives.
Right. I like this. If I hire somebody to paint my house, say, and they say it's going to be $3,000 and I'll finish by this day, and I said, and I would say to them, I'll give you an extra $500 for every, for if you finish a week early.
Right.
That might be a good idea. Might be $500 well spent.
Great idea.
I do think, and I've done that many times. I
you
mean,
have I'm, done?
Yes.
Now, do you get shoddy? I bit my tongue somewhere. I was very worried about the word shoddy right then. I bit it like a week ago, and it's getting worse and worse every day. But do you ever end up with shoddy work because you've done that?
Yeah, well, you don't want to do it with your plastic surgeon.
Yes.
If you finish, they say the procedure's 90 minutes. If you can redo my nose in 22 minutes, I'll give you
that. Have me out of here in 10 minutes.
Yeah, forget about sterilization and all that nonsense. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to examine their work, and obviously right. the 10 freeway is going to have to be able to hold a semi-truck, and you're going to have to inspect it and all that. But otherwise, people can do essentially the same work twice as fast when motivated. I don't even know that they think they can do it twice as fast right. until you wave that money under their nose. You'd be surprised right. what you can do. Even when the person says it's going to take 5 months, I'm sure they meant it was going to take 5 months.
Now, do you think that's universal?
In people?
Yes.
I will tell you this. The people that are what we call the winners in life approach things that way without the incentive, and then the incentive comes later in life.
I found when I owned a small piece of a property, a rental property in the Caribbean, that I could not, and these are very poor people. You step off the Ritz-Carlton on the nicest island, you are in the third world, man, and most people don't know that. Mm-hmm. You step off the Ritz-Carlton or whatever, and there's no running water and no sewage, it's gnarly, and you could not get people to show up on time for money. You're on island time now, man. You're on island time. It was real. I couldn't
believe
it. I said, this is $20. Mm-hmm. This is the month's labor, dude. Mm. All we need to do is fix that thing. All right, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, man.
Well, now you're getting into a cultural thing, and right. now you're getting into France with 30-hour work weeks and, you know, 9 weeks of vacation time. Now you're getting in a total lifestyle.
Yeah.
Essentially, right. you're dealing with an entire nation of hippies.
Very cool hippies.
No, I sound like a Republican from the 50s.
They're all hippies.
Son, I can't see your ears. What'd you do, drop your beads?
I could totally do the 4-day work week, the 3-day weekend. I could do that.
I think I could do
I
that,
just get
too.
In trouble, I think.
But if you waved $5 million in front of my face, I'd go back
yes.
to the 5-day
week. When Gretchen and I were doing a little better, we had a thing called the $5,000 rule. Mm-hmm. And that is, if people would call me up, because I worked with a girl who wouldn't do anything and spoke of herself in the third person. Let's mm-hmm. say her name was
Bitchy.
Jenny Black.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I worked with this girl named Jenny Black, and she would say, Jenny Black does not do car lots. Jenny Black does not do record stores. Jenny Black does not do Kmart openings.
Mm-hmm.
And went on in the third person. And I looked at my boss, my first day with this person, and I said, $3,500. I'm a Jiffy Lube. And I meant it. It was a 2-hour minimum, $3,500. It's downright un-American to turn down that kind of money.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
To stand out there, hand out stickers or CDs or whatever they wanted you to do.
Mm.
You're a taxpayer, man. It's downright, unless it costs your kid's birthday party or graduation.
Right.
I think it's the wrong thing to do, to not make as much money as you possibly can, well, as long as you do decent things with it.
That being said, Adam Carolla doesn't roll over in bed for under $5,000. We need to take...
I've heard that, actually, and your wife's pissed.
A break. We'll be back to wrap it up next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, I want to thank Joe Arpaio, America's Toughest Sheriff, Lynn and Alex, America's Toughest Gays,
yep.
The Amazing Race.
Being a bossy bottom is just not glamorous.
Nope. Lynn and Alex World.com. Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, Winky Ride, Saturday, July 21st. Also, Jorge Garcia from Lost tomorrow night, and Kimmel tonight. So, until next time, is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I have asymmetry in my breast. One's down on my knee. The other one's in my eye. But look at those elbows.
Yeah,
I'm going to land myself a prince.